Show ranked number 32 on Google Play.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Hey, all right.
How about that? How often are we hitting that number 32, Brandon?
Every night.
Are we really? But that's good when we hit, when we land there at nighttime. Usually is when things are going well.
Overnight, and then the other 49 in the top 50 never move.
It's kind of weird.
It's baffling.
Okay, so mixing things up a little bit, Gary Graff going to talk about some rock and roll news, music news coming up, and we're going to talk to the guy who trademarked all those potential Redskin names.
Yeah, including the best one, the Redskins.
What, the Red Tails? That is the worst name.
That's in the lead right now.
That's to honor the Tuskegee Airmen, right?
Yep.
Who, you know, I have no problem with honoring the Tuskegee Airmen, but...
Has anybody asked the
Tuskegee
Airmen?
It shouldn't be a punishment.
Has anybody asked them if they're okay with it, though?
I think they are okay with it. Well, no, I'm not so sure about that. Yeah, I think they're okay. Why would they...
I don't know. Washington,
Mark, that's a good question.
Maybe they hate the Redskins, the Washington team. They're not a very good football team right now.
If you named a sports team that fights hard after anything, it was a compliment, but how wrong I was... And so, yeah, they should ask him. You're right. They should absolutely ask him. Okay. So, Royal Oak.
Yeah.
Has made this offer to give you free money. Royal Oak dollars, downtown dollars, 400 grand. And guess what? The Drew and Mike Show has already sucked up like 50 grand of it.
I know.
It's pretty funny.
That's awesome. That's wild. It shows the power of this audience.
I know. They were kind of wondering, is this going to work? It's working pretty good, because we got the jump on it. We got about a 36-hour jump before anyone else got to talk about this. And you guys went out and signed up at visitroyaloak.com. You sign up for the RO in the Know newsletter, and you get a $20 e-gift card. It can be used at any participating business, such as Lily's. I love Lily's. Mesa, Iron Horse.
Lily.
Vera Asian. UHF. Desert Oasis. Your personal jeweler. Hi. Yeah, Goldfish Tea.
It's not just all the restaurants there. There's a lot of retail that accepts it.
Yes, and retail is very involved. UHF Record Store, that's right. That's what UHF is. Oh,
that's a nice place.
So get your $20. And you know what? If you sign up a bunch, you can all use them at once. You can all go out for dinner or lunch or whatever, right, or a few beers, and use your gift cards. It's just like cash. Go to visitroyaloak.com. And sign up for RO in the Know, and you'll get that $20 e-gift card. Probably a lot of you already got it. If not, I think you get it in about 24 hours or so. And then, of course, the Lyft thing on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Thursday, Friday, 5 p.m. to 2 a.m., $10 off your Lyft. If they Lyft you to Royal Oak, and $10 free on your way home. It might take 10 minutes at 1:30 or 1:45 or 1 o'clock, but they'll get you. And they'll probably get you quicker as this goes on. And of course,
you can impress that date as you get all these discounts.
Fans are here.
Going on a first date and say, hey, I got a lift.
That could be a really cheap date.
Appreciate your frugality.
Get her to get a gift card, too.
Yeah.
So she can pay her own way.
Yeah.
Look, if we're going to have sex, that's all it is.
No, it's not all it is,
period.
Dave.
Saturday and Sunday Lyft, by the way, in order to feature the retailers a little bit more, they will give you $10 off at 10 a.m. till 2 a.m. So if you want to go for lunch or you want to bop around and shop a little bit. 10 a.m. to 2 a.m.
Oh, wow. 10 a.m. to 2 a.m.?
Yeah, 10 a.m. to 2 a.m.
Wow.
Saturday and Sunday. So if you want to...
Okay, on the week. Okay.
Yeah, bop around in the nice weather in the afternoon, get some lunch.
Mason? You can't date now. You can't. How do you even make a move in this climate?
Mason.
I guess I don't understand the dating scene.
Mesa still needs cooks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm telling you, it is hard to get people to come back to work.
Did Brian from Charlie LaDuff's No Bullshit News 3 weeks ago, did he ever email?
Not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's a problem. I don't know what's going on. I really can't get a pulse on how bad the economy is, but in the last couple of weeks, I've been reading that it seems that it's sort of getting away from us now. You know, we had those numbers. Oh, my God, look how much it's ramping up. And then all of a sudden, you know, I think people freak out. They don't want to work. The virus cases numbers go up, and I don't know. I think we got a ways to go. But anyway, I should almost do this, my daily rabbit hole.
Oh, great.
Because I got in a good one today. Let's see. How did this start?
That's always the fascinating thing. I want to know, if you're going to do it, I want to know the start point and the end point.
Well, yeah. The end point's very random.
That's what I mean.
Okay, here's the start point. I'm reading about Liberty DeVito, Billy Joel's drummer.
Okay.
He's got a book. He was really mad at Billy Joel. Mm-hmm.
Liberty
and Russell Javers and Doug Stegmeyer had a Long Island band. Billy kind of took the whole band in. And they made three or four albums with Billy. I think a couple live albums, too. They were hired guns. They were in the Hired Guns documentary. Yeah. And eventually, Billy decided he wanted to have a different sound, and he let Russell and Doug go. He kept Liberty, the drummer. And these guys found out about it on MTV, and they were very bitter about it. In fact, Doug Stegmeyer committed suicide in 1995. He was very bitter. So Liberty hangs on. Those guys are kind of pissed at him, too. Like, oh, it was one for all and all for one. Liberty's like, yeah, I got kids to feed.
It's the music business.
And Liberty lasted 2005 when after a tour, I guess he's talking to one of the new band guys. Billy, by the way, Billy keeps people for a long time. Billy seems like a very loyal employer.
Hmm. Hot dang, Billy Joel makes my pussy tingle.
And this guy says, I'll see you at Billy's wedding.
Uh-oh.
And Liberty's like, Billy's wedding? He goes, yeah, did you get an invite? Oh, I guess I'm out of the band.
Oh, that's so painful.
Liberty. And Liberty.
I really hope he responded with,
no, I'm not going to any depressing shit like that. Too sensitive.
That would have been the perfect answer. Liberty was very angry about money, about a lot of things.
I want to be invited to all of the parties.
Extremely bitter. I always feel like the story's getting really boring if the drops pick up.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, this is the part that's really interesting. I really believe this is interesting. So this bitterness goes on for about 13, 14 years. He's in the Hired Gun documentary, where all these guys who are in bands like Alice Cooper and Pink and various, you know, they say, yeah, it's really hard. You're on top of the world playing in front of 50,000 people one day, and then the next day, nothing.
Ouch.
Because they go make an album and they want a new sound, or, you know, it was a really good documentary. I enjoyed it. It was interesting. It wasn't all depressing.
Why did Billy get rid of them?
Well, that's the interesting part.
Oh, okay, great.
They've kind of kissed and made up now, and Liberty's book, I guess, is not the negative, horrific book that maybe he thought it would be at one point. And it turns out there was a misunderstanding in 2005.
Oh.
And neither one of them will say what it is. And at one point, Billy Joel said,
I think I know. I think it's over this.
I do not want him coming out on stage unless he's hard.
Liberty said, I'm totally rock. This is as big as I can get.
Billy has said on a few occasions that if I explain this, it would ruin his life. What the hell does that mean?
What?
Can you remind me to ask Graf about this?
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Well, I thought it was like, I don't know. I mean, maybe he banged the piano player's wife.
Doesn't make it sound like maybe it's he was wrong. He realizes he's wrong. Doesn't want to admit he's wrong. So he just says, I can't talk about it. It will just destroy his life.
But ruin his life sounds really like he did something fucked up. But if it's a misunderstanding, then I don't know how it would still ruin his life.
Yeah.
So I start out with he's talking about a song called I Go to Extremes that Billy Joel, one of Billy Joel's songs from, I think it's 89. We used to play it in Phoenix. I love the song. It's about just being
fucking
really high.
I love that song.
it's about being really high or really low. It sounds like I think the first time I heard it, I liked it, which doesn't always happen. And I like Billy Joel, generally.
Oh, he's really good.
Call me a joker, call me a fool. Right at this moment, I'm totally cool. Clear as a crystal, sharp as a knife. I feel like I'm in the prime of my life.
Don't you know any other
stuff? Scooby dooby doop.
Baby, it's only tonight. Darling, I don't know why I go.
Well, why come you go to extremes all the time? What's up, Billy? So anyway, I went to that song.
Yes.
And I listened to it. I was enjoying it. And all of a sudden, I saw underneath it was Boston.
Oh, gross.
And I'm listening
to... totally gross, but pretty gross.
Boston, I tend to think that way when I think about Boston.
Austin, and, Massachusetts.
Of course, I'm reminded of my interview from Woodstock with Gary Graff and Trudy. We were at Woodstock calling the studio where Peter Werby was interviewing Tom Scholz.
Gary.
And I was so fascinated that Tom Scholz is in the studio because he's supposed to be this, you know, this incredible engineering nerd. And I think the interview became more about Tom Scholz than Woodstock. But anyway, it was. I just remember having a lot of fun talking to those guys.
Boston, by the way, like I like Foreplay Long Time. That's okay. Hate More Than a Feeling.
I still like More Than a Feeling. You know what?
Peace of Mind, I think, is okay. Hate Amanda.
I hate Amanda, too. I do kind of like Don't Look Back.
Okay.
It's okay. Yeah. I mean, the opening riff, I'll usually stay with it. But for some reason, Boston. And that first album sold 17 million copies. That first album was so big. So I get to Boston. And I'm watching Tom Scholz in the early days. And I find this live show from 1979 at Giant Stadium.
Mm-hmm. Was Mass
the whole
there?
Show.
Mass was there?
Probably. And, of course, I immediately go looking for Foreplay Long Time, which that's clearly the best song, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
And they're just jamming out. I'm watching Tom Scholz, which is so cool. He's playing the keyboard on Foreplay Long Time, and then he has to get up, like, mid-note, and this other guy has to jump in mid-note while he takes his straps his guitar on.
Yeah, come on. Can you
start
just
playing Long Time?
Can he get a hired gun?
Well, he had the hired gun to take over. But he was literally holding the note as he, like, walked away from the keyboard.
he doesn't have to do that.
I thought it was kind of slightly cool. And, I'm
playing it at my funeral.
I was kind of amazed because Brad Delp was hitting all those high notes. And
this for all the dudes on the stage. All y'all gay.
I don't know why.
I did not like the concert.
I was rather enjoying it. There were a lot of empty seats.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I could not get over every camera angle. I just thought, oh, boy, somebody lost a lot of money on this concert. Man. And then I had to look up who the backup bands were, which were the Outlaws and... Is it Todd Rundgren? I'm like, oh boy, that's a bad combination. That doesn't sell tickets. Then somehow I bumped into, I know why this happened. Because I was reading about the Palace and people comments. And all of a sudden, somebody mentioned the David Bowie show, which was their Palace, favorite Palace memory. And I'm like, oh yeah, David Bowie. Oh my God, 2005, that was the best show.
Speaking of the Palace, did Gary make a list of the best shows at the Palace?
We could ask him. We could pressure him. He won't like the question, but he'd be a good person to ask. And the opening of the Bowie show was Rebel Rebel, which is maybe the best show opening song I have ever seen. It was so flippin' perfect, and he played all the hits. So that was the end of my deep dive.
It's not that big of a deep dive.
It wasn't that deep. It was deep into Boston.
Well, that's
it's just ridiculous. And then I was in Google Play looking at the 20 Boston songs that get streamed the most. I'm fascinated by what songs still live on, in a way, people stream. And I couldn't understand the order. Foreplay Long Time was third.
That's what it is in Spotify, too. And more than a feeling, it just wallops them all.
Really?
Spotify's list. Yeah, 357 million streams.
Oh, it's got that many.
Peace of Mind is number two.
Yeah, 95. Peace of Mind was number two on Google Play, too.
Foreplay Long Time, Amanda.
And then, is Smokin' number four?
Five.
Okay, what's four?
Amanda.
God, that's a terrible song. Oh. Okay, let me...
I didn't answer.
I better do this. Anthony Gabara and the hottest sales staff in Oakland County at Zotford and Holly recognize we're in the middle of some weird times with all this crazy coronavirus, and people are being furloughed, and some people aren't getting called back, and... Well, that's a lot to be uptight about. Zotford is proud to offer the Ford Promise, which is perfect for right now. The Ford Promise means when you buy or lease your new or pre-loved vehicle from our friends at Zotford, they promise to buy your vehicle back with no penalty to you if you lose your job anytime during the next 12 months. It's that simple. Enjoy the peace of mind knowing if you lose your job, they'll take your vehicle back. No questions asked.
You about to lose your job.
No penalty to you. No blemishes on your credit. No joke, period. So get on down to Zotford or call Anthony Ketchum on the bat phone, 248-215-5151. That's 248-215-5151. You can always get the details at dealsinthed.com. Tell me. And Mr. Big Stuff will be on the Hall Financial Hotline. By the way, they are getting people 2.5% rates on refis at Hall Financial.
Lucky.
Whew. And the word I got was just call. Just, you know, if you have your interest rate, the term of your loan, and the amount you owe, you can probably get a pretty quick answer. I think it's a call worth making because that's not much to find out. I mean, if you're in the ballpark.
And you can decide if you want to go forward from that.
If you're at 3.6 or higher, you've got to call. Just do it. You haven't refinanced in the last year. Hall Financial thinks they can help you. And you might even get to skip a couple payments, too, and shorten the term, or maybe you lower your payment. 1,500 five-star reviews, 248-308-5000 for Hall Financial. Go to our webpage, click the link, fill out the form. They'll get back to you in a hurry. Or, oh, I ran out the music. Lower payments, better options, more personal attention. Hall Financial, NMLS number 1467435. Hall Financial.
It's Gary time.
Gary time.
What's that from?
It's Gary time.
That's from Teen Mom, right?
Yeah,
that about
yeah.
Gary Shirley.
Oh, I like that. Gary Shirley.
That's his name.
Gary.
Gary Graff is a bit more svelte than Gary Shirley.
Love you, Gary.
By a mile, yeah.
How you doing, Gary?
All right. How are you guys?
Pretty good.
That's good.
I was delighted to find out there are things to talk about because
there are still other things going on in the world.
Yeah, it's, you know, a little slow, but it starts to add up over time, and it's time to talk. And hopefully, this list is long enough we can get two appearances out of. I was just explaining Liberty DeVito, Billy Joel's drummer.
Yep,
he's a pretty good drummer, isn't he, Gary?
He's a very good drummer.
I thought so, too.
You know, he's a powerhouse, but he can play with some finesse, too, and you don't always find that from the powerhouse drummers.
So Liberty, he has this dispute. Billy kind of leaves him out in the cold in 2005. They've reunited. Everything is all lovey-dovey now. And neither one of them will explain what the misunderstanding was about. And Billy said, if I explain it, it could ruin his life. Did you read that, Gary?
I did.
What in the hell does that
mean?
Well,
I think
understands it.
Liberty it has been pretty forthright that he was having some substance issues at the point where Billy booted him out of the band. And I suspect some things happened under the influence. They're not, from what I've seen at least, they're not in his book, his new book, Liberty's new book.
Oh, how convenient.
Nobody has really come out and said anything.
Wow.
About it. So
what could that, boy, that just makes my mind wander.
Or it's Billy, he's trying to help Liberty sell some books.
Oh, okay.
You know, the one thing you'll notice about Liberty's book, which is called Liberty, is Billy wrote the foreword. So that certainly takes a little bit of the acrimony out of what this book could be. You know, you're not gonna have a guy write a foreword for your book and then go spear him in the pages.
Okay, I, as impressed as I am that these guys have put their disagreements aside, I'm always really underwhelmed when somebody says, and so-and-so wrote the foreword. The foreword's like one page, right?
Yeah, one or two. You know, sometimes you do get a good foreword, you know, from somebody who really gave it some thought and put it into it. But usually it's just a quick testimonial.
Exactly.
But it has, you know, it does have some sales power. You know, people... And in the case of, like, this book, you know, having Billy Joel write the foreword for his drummer's memoir, you know, gives it a kind of authority and authenticity that's going to send readers to it. You know, it's going to say, okay, well, if Billy's behind the book, then it must be the real story.
Well,
when, in fact, it's probably not all the real story.
On the percussion front, I read about Chris Franz's book about Talking Heads and his life with Tina Weymouth, et cetera. And they're happily married, correct?
They are very happily married since 1977.
How many in-band marriages can you think of that have lasted?
Not very many.
Wow. That's a great question.
You have Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo, of course.
That's right.
She was the act, of course, you know. So they've only recently put his name to the front, and maybe that's part of keeping the peace.
He was a passenger.
Okay,
does Springsteen count?
A little bit. That's been a long time for those two. You know, so there are a few out. There are more that don't than do last like that. But no, in the case, and I'll tell you, the Chris Franz book, Remain in Love, is it's a very sweet book, even though he clearly has his issues with particularly David Byrne and what happened with Talking Heads. There's a level of maturity to it in the way he writes about it, and a kind of understanding. And I did interview him about the book, and that's going to run this Sunday in the Oakland Press to take advantage of a plug opportunity. Yeah.
Is there a publicist we need to call, Gary, to get him on our show after we have clearance from you?
Yeah, I'll steer you towards it.
Thank you.
But he did say that the one thing he didn't so much gain new perspectives as he has a better understanding now, both about his wife, Tina Weymouth, and what she went through, and about David Byrne and what, you know, his experience in being part of Talking Heads the one thing he said to me was he knew David Byrne wanted to be a star. He just didn't necessarily want to be a rock star. So David Byrne wanted to be more a star of the intelligentsia.
That's interesting.
But he was. I mean, he was. You know, they all came out of that art school background, and
yes.
You know, David Byrne as a front man, as a singer, as a writer. You know, he was taking his leads from Glenn Gould and people of that ilk. You know, as much as he was Chuck Berry, probably more than he was from Chuck Berry.
You know, Pylon. You know, Pylon from Athens.
Yep.
They got a reference on the show already before
very
today.
Forced reference.
Believe it or not. Yeah, it was forced. they're in that new book about Athens and what a rock
right.
and roll center is, which, of course, I'm sure you've interviewed someone about that book.
I haven't interviewed anybody. I read it. I wasn't that crazy about it.
He could have had an interview.
That one was a little too academic for me.
Okay. Wow. That means it must be really academic.
It's pretty academic.
Anyway, Pylon, weren't they all art school people who really didn't want to play music, but they just said, well, we're artists, so we should have a band.
I don't know that they didn't want to play music. I mean, I think they found music attractive. To play, and then they suddenly figured out that they get more girls with music than they do with etchings.
Mm. I see.
We're not all Escher. You can't invite somebody into your bedroom to look at your etchings.
Gary, you know our audience. Was Pylon worth a reference when I referenced them a couple weeks ago?
Yes. No, Pylon.
When we talk about the great
under celebrated bands, you know, Pylon is definitely.
Thank you.
Among them.
Hey, do they belong in the same category as Big Star, who's gotten many references?
No, Big Star is a much better band.
Thank you. I got that right, too.
Your reference ratio is pretty accurate then. I saw the article you wrote about, and Drew was really pumped up for the Ringo birthday show.
I thought that was great.
Drew was a little let down.
I didn't feel I thought it was going to be kind of sort of live, a little bit live, maybe.
It was only a little bit live, but he pretty much said, you know, he gave you the impression that it wasn't going to be very live, that they kind of collected what they could. But I thought some of those people, like Sheryl Crow, put real effort.
Oh, Gary,
she was good.
What about Gary Clark Jr., too?
Oh, yeah, well, he played his Tuckus off.
That was great.
And Sheila E.'s thing was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. You're right. It was okay. Yeah. That was cool. It just wasn't live, so I think I guess it's the virtual part that I'm just stuck on.
Well, it would have been fun. It would have been fun to see, like, you know, Paul and Ringo try to jam, and Joe Walsh maybe do a trio thing by Zoom.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, speaking of Zoom, isn't that you wrote in the article? That's how he had his press conference.
Right. Yeah. So, he zoomed us all in. And
how many people is what I want to know?
I think there were maybe a dozen.
Oh, really?
That's
but
all?
I think that includes the publicist too. So it might have been 9 journalists.
Were you able to ask?
Only 4 of us got to ask questions.
That's what I was going to wonder.
What did you get out, Gary?
And of course, the use of the term of us implies who was one of them.
I just wondered if there was someone who monopolized the time.
No, a couple people, you know, did go a little too far. I just asked him a question about what he's been doing, you know, during in isolation and the pandemic, and he gave me like a 6-minute answer. He was really into talking about it.
Gary, isn't it incredible how long his answers are sometimes?
Oh yeah, when he's in a good mood,
yeah,
he goes. Sometimes when he's not in a good mood, he's hard to get stuff out of.
Rock stars can sometimes be like politicians, where by the time they're finished, you don't really even remember what the question was about
or what they started with.
Yeah. Well, wow, that's pretty cool, though. I would like to.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a fun thing.
You're mad that he didn't invite you to come over?
That would have been nice.
Again, there were only nine of us. I can send you the. They did film it and send it to us.
Oh, I think I can live without that.
I haven't put. Yeah.
That would just add salt to the wound. That's perfect. Send it over.
next time something like that happens, I'll send up the flag. That actually came down like 90 minutes before it happened.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Were you ready for it? I mean, was it like you knew it was coming?
No, actually. It was just hey, we got this thing going. You know, you want to talk to Ringo? let me think about it. You know, right, like as if.
Ringo's in the mood, so yeah, let's just
do
it.
Yeah, let's go do it.
I saw you posted a picture of your Live Aid press credential, too, which is kind of cool.
I think it's even more noteworthy that I can find it in what we call my office.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that one has sat kind of on top of the pass pile.
How does...
pretty damn cool, I got to say.
It's Live Aid. I mean, huge event. How does that compare to, say, the other big... like musical events that you've been to?
That's probably my favorite of all of them, even amongst the Woodstocks and the other festivals. And
you went to Woodstock?
Yeah, you were. Well, Woodstocks. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that was cool. I had a great time too.
Oh yeah, that was just finding each other was fun.
That was. I was just talking about where you were with us when we called the studio.
Yeah.
Peter Werby and Tom Scholz was on.
I think so.
It was great fun. It really was.
But yeah, now Live Aid was the spirit of that day cannot be overstated. How one the whole thing felt. You even felt like you were one with the people in England, watching them on the video screen.
Did you ever feel like, oh, I wish it was at Wembley?
That's at points of it, when you're watching like U2 or The Who reunite. But, believe me, Philly had plenty of joys. As well, Wembley had a better finale, for sure.
Yeah,
we had Led Zeppelin in Philly.
Oh yeah, that's right.
We had Tina Turner and Mick Jagger together, backed by Hall and Oates.
How was Led Zeppelin that day? Because it seems like whenever you hear them talk about it, it's very disappointing. But I remember liking it.
It was really good. I still, to this day, don't know what the problem was, but that's because they're Led Zeppelin, and I guess we're not. But it sure went down well.
Yeah.
And I've seen it subsequently. I've watched the video and such, and I don't get it. Neither Phil Collins nor Tony Thompson were John Bonham, but so what?
Yeah, I think the complaint was that Phil Collins really didn't get to rehearse with those guys.
No, and he was tired because he flew over from England.
Yeah.
But it didn't hurt anything.
I got to say, that was a really good...
No, I'm still sleeping.
That was a really good piece of shtick. I mean, it was way overblown, but it was, and Phil Collins is flying on the Concorde. I mean, like, only Phil... like, he had to be at Wembley, too.
Well, he lived in England at the time. Wembley was easier.
Well, he could have Concorded in 2 days earlier.
He could have, but it was good shtick. It was fun to have something like that go on.
I forgot Zeppelin was in Philly. What was your... what else did you really enjoy in Philly?
I liked the sight of Judas Priest playing in the, 95-degree sunshine. I thought that was great. It was fun watching stuff like the Four Tops.
Oh, yeah.
Again, in the context of who else was on that lineup, they were kind of a, huh? But everybody got off on it and had a great time. Tom Petty was good. There was a surprise Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young reunion.
Oh, wow.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
What did they play, Gary?
I'd have to go back and look. I'm pretty sure it was Helpless.
Oh, great. That's awesome. As you're talking about this, I'm remembering that Mick Jagger was separated from the Stones at that point, so he did a solo act, right?
Well, they were
Love You, Jagger.
They were making the Dirty Work album at the time and were at odds with each other. The album wasn't going well. The band was having issues, so the band turned down Live Aid, and Jagger said he'd do it. And so he flew to America and did it. Lo and behold, end of the night, there's Keith and Ronnie playing poorly with Bob Dylan because they had just met at the hotel bar the night before. And, to their somewhat edification, part of the issue was when they lowered the curtain, it lowered over their monitors, so they couldn't hear each other, so they became both blind and deaf.
Yeah, that was a messy one. That was one of the bigger disappointments of the day, I guess.
Oh, but it was, especially, you know, you come off all the highs that had preceded it.
Oh, yeah.
And then Dylan chose not to play any of his, not to play really appropriate songs for the occasion. You know, if there was ever a night Dylan! To play Blowing in the Wind, there it was.
Son of a bitch.
No, he's got so many songs he could have played. Yeah. But, yeah, that's Bob. Going back to Mick, though, as I recall, State of Shock was a hit at the time, and Mick played it, right?
Right. It was because it had been, you know, he duetted with Michael Jackson for the Jacksons album the year before on it.
Yeah.
And he kind of claimed it as his own with Tina Turner. And I think that was a little poke at Michael Jackson on a number of fronts. After they did that duet, Michael was not kind in talking about Mick.
Oh.
And Michael had also turned down Live Aid, so I think it was a double shot for me.
Well, I have to say, I never liked that song. I thought it was one of those ones where you just put those two guys together and it's going to be a hit, but it wasn't a great song. But I loved the performance that night.
Well, it's because Tina and Mick did it better than Michael and Mick did it on the record.
Damn sure did. What else did Mick play? Do you recall?
I think, if I remember, Just Another Night.
Great song.
I think Honky Tonk Woman. Because I think that's the one. It's either Honky Tonk Woman or It's Only Rock and Roll, because that would have been the one where he ripped Tina's skirt off.
God, I need to watch Live Aid over again.
It's all there on YouTube.
I know. The thing that amazed me watching it the last time I sort of did a little dive on it was watching Madonna. Because Madonna was really new to the whole superstar scene then, and she just doesn't seem that in charge of... I mean, she just seems young and inexperienced and not really stage worthy.
Very great. And also a little tentative because that was like, I think, less than a month after the nude photos came out. That were in Penthouse, because her line when she walked on stage, you know, and she was not exactly wearing summer attire. You know, her opening line was, I'm not taking shit off today.
Ooh.
So, you know, I think there was a little tentativeness.
But she does today. That's the ironic thing.
To her, yeah.
Oh, I know. That sounds like, well, whatever.
Yeah. There was Teddy Pendergrass was, you know, coming to us from some other planet in his wheelchair. I mean, he was definitely having out-of-body experience with Patti LaBelle, but it was it was all right. It added to the whole impact of the day.
On the list today, you had David Lee Roth. He keeps saying, you know, oh, Eddie's done, so I'm the only way you can see Van Halen. And now, what is he saying now?
Well,
why is he saying it?
Definitely self-serving, but he's come out and said again, he thinks Van Halen is done touring. He says Eddie does not want to go on the road. He didn't really address whether, you know, this has to do with all these reports of cancer, that Eddie having cancer or not, but he told the New York Times just that he doesn't ever see Eddie ready to rally for the rigors of going on the road again.
Mm. Somehow I can't believe Eddie will never play live again. That just doesn't seem plausible, does it?
Maybe not play live again, but tour again.
Yeah, but how about a Vegas residency or something?
Something like that. I think that's something that could be talked about if he does. I mean, it may just be that Eddie's at a point in his life where it's like, you know, I'm 60, whatever I am. Do I really want to have to deal with David Lee Roth, all the time?
Understandable.
Yeah, no, I mean that could well be a part of it, or he could be as sick as we're hearing.
You know, you like to think that you know people just because you read a lot about them and you've interviewed them a couple times, but I really, this is just my impression, is that Sammy Hagar seems like a really good guy, and I can't understand why the Van Halens, what's wrong between those three people?
You know, I think there's control issues. I think, you know, one thing that kind of flies under the radar during the Van Hagar years is that Sammy's manager, Ed Leffler, took over Van Halen and ran Van Halen, and I think that always got under the craw of the brothers. Mm-hmm. I think they always felt like things were always done for Sammy. And, you know, Sammy was you know, it became kind of Sammy's band. And I don't think they like that.
Can't they ever get over it?
These guys?
Yeah.
Apparently not. If you listen to what Sammy has to say and some of what David Lee Roth has to say, interestingly, the guy that got screwed the most in the deal, Mike Anthony, he really doesn't diss the Van Halens all that much.
I know.
It's hard to get him to say anything about them.
And he's so good.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I guess that's apparently his nature, though. That's what Sammy's always said, is that, you know, Michael's just the nicest guy in the world, and, yeah, he's not going to burn the bridge. And, you know, he understands that he's had this great and highly lucrative life, and he's happy for that.
Who could blame him?
Oh, yeah. Not a great attitude if you can have it. It just doesn't seem to come along in the rock and roll world.
No. Well, you know, for so many bands, if you've got more than one superstar in it, you've got to have a Michael Anthony, don't you? Or a Charlie Watts. You got to have somebody like that.
No,
or John Entwistle?
It wasn't Entwistle. That was four head cases. That was nitroglycerin.
That was a crazy band.
But it worked.
You know, I was just reading I don't know if this is it Entwistle's book? I don't know who's. It's a book about Entwistle. Was there one?
There was a recent book about him.
Okay. So I'm reading this book, and they're talking about Entwistle living in L.A. with some chick. I can't remember. His life's very complicated. And Entwistle, the Who has gone out and sort of raised money for him, which it seems like the only reason they toured back at that time. And so he's kind of back.
I love the Who.
He's kind of back in the money. But I think he's bored just sitting around in L.A., so he has these solo tours that clearly lose their ass, but he doesn't care because he wants to go out on the road.
Right.
I thought that was hilarious.
Go out on the road and party. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And show no control whatsoever.
Oh, no. There was no impulse there. And, you know, to this day, Pete and Roger remain very angry with him, with Entwistle, even though he's not here to be angry with, but... You know, basically for losing control one last time in a way that jeopardized them.
Yeah, I know. That was too bad.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see. I'll ask you one more thing, and then we'll move on, because we have a whole other list of things we can do next week.
Sure.
The Beatles Let It Be thing, I know it was pushed back a year, but it sounds... I mean, I don't know how we Beatle fans get excited about, quote-unquote, new things, but this sounds kind of exciting.
Well, everybody's thumping the drum for it and doing the right thing. What I think is very interesting is how we're going to buy into this as Beatles history, because supposedly this is the warm and fuzzy side of Let It Be, which we've always at least been schooled was Armageddon, you know, in the Beatles world, including in the Beatles anthology. It's not like they went, you know, now Paul is talking about how, oh, there was all sorts of sweetness and light, and you're going to see us in this Peter Jackson movie. You're going to see us laughing and having a good time together. Well, that's not what you said back in '95. You made it sound like hell on earth.
They've gone very hot cold, no doubt about it. And it's all warm and fuzzy now.
I mean, I think it's going to be fun to watch the entire rooftop concert.
Oh, I can't wait. I love that. That to me is one of these truly seminal moments in rock and roll history.
Well, and that's the... I'm hoping for the soundtrack album from this, because we should all have that. Finally.
Amen.
Not in bootleg form.
Are there extras, like Let It Be, the album, it seems, was delayed too. The 50-year anniversary would have been this year, so I guess it's going to be come out with the movie, and does that have stuff left? Because those sessions weren't the greatest.
It does, because there were hours upon hours upon hours of recording, so, you know, the alternate versions and outtakes, you know, I'm sure are there. Some of them did surface. I mean, they had that Let It Be Naked album. So, you know, that would be part of it. And then, you know, there's outtakes. There's alternate versions. I mean, there's some songs. There's some songs that Paul played drums on, that Ringo wound up playing drums on. There's songs with Paul played lead guitar on. You know,
what I heard? This is on YouTube. God, there's so many great things on YouTube. It was the Beatles working out Don't Let Me Down. And Paul singing real high, like too high, and then he's singing lower, and it sounds like George and Ringo have it all worked out, and Paul and John are working their parts out. But it was really cool, and it didn't sound unfriendly at all. And I sort of heard the same thing. It was about a 7-minute clip of them going through something, and George is trying to rhyme a word, and he can't come up with the word. And I forgot he's using some word that sounds so silly, kind of like yesterday in scrambled eggs. But anyway, it all sounded very workmanlike to me, and they seemed to be having fun. I mean,
yeah. So we'll see. I mean, I am really curious to see what this what this little documentary looks like and how they managed to turn Let It Be into a party or something.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of hours to look at.
Gary, oh, there are.
Some people were wondering when you're going to put together your top 10 list of Palace performances now that the Palace is imploding.
I did that in 2017. Well, thank you very much.
Then it's already done.
I got a laugh over all the Palace stuff. It's like, you know, that's not the Palace, a roof and some girders.
Thank you.
We said goodbye to the Palace in 2017.
Did you have you watched the David Foster documentary that's on Netflix?
Not yet. That is on the list.
Okay, we'll add that to the next one.
Okay, what kind of ego display is it?
Pretty much right on par.
Okay.
I mean, he knows he's got a huge ego. He pretends
he's the worst.
He's kind of a dick. I wasn't nuts about him. I did get to find out that there was a Canadian version of We Are the World.
Oh yeah, he did something. Northern Lights, right?
Tears of something. Yeah.
That's right. The group was called Northern Lights, yes. And yeah, Tears Are Not Enough.
Those are so fun to look at though, because you see all these people that were giant stars at that moment, and then not much longer.
Right.
And you're like, why are they in that?
And their haircut.
Another fun part, well, right after that is him ruining Chicago, and they talk to the horn section of Chicago, who still hates him, clearly.
Oh, sure.
He took away their horns.
He should hate them.
I never knew, and this is so ridiculous, because I watched Webster because I was younger, so I knew who Ben Vereen was from that and from my mom playing Jesus Christ Superstar. So when Ben Vereen got hit by a car, I didn't know David Foster was the one driving the car that hit him. Was that well known?
It wasn't well known, and now that you say it, I remember it. That's kind of how it's kind of gone by the other, but yeah, he was almost the Vince Neil of middle of the road music.
Except,
yeah.
Well, I won't spoil it for you, but it does take quite a turn when David Foster analyzes the whole situation.
Oh, I have no doubt.
That is so weird.
Because you brought up producers and we've been talking about books, I would also toss out a recommendation for the new Ted Templeman memoir.
Oh.
Ted Templeman, of course, did the Van Halen album.
Doobie Brothers.
Doobie Brothers, Van Morrison, Montrose, he did an Aerosmith album.
A little bit of everything.
Really, really good book, and he doesn't flail, but he doesn't pull punches.
Okay.
So it's a really interesting read.
Oh, I'm pumped for that.
Yeah.
Gary, real quickly, if you think of something great, if not, no pressure. I was talking about the Bowie show at the Palace because, of course, all these great Palace memories. And I remember that Bowie opened with Rebel Rebel, and I was thinking, God, that was one of the coolest opening songs I've ever seen. Just, I don't know, maybe it was me at the moment, but I just loved it. Can you think of openers that were particularly special on any tour, any band?
You mean first song?
Yeah, the first song.
I mean, yeah, you always get into a thing. I remember Bruce Springsteen doing, I think it was Redheaded Woman acoustic. That was an attention getter.
As an opener?
I'm pretty sure that's what he opened with. The second night.
Oh, wow.
Of that tour. I'd really have to go back through the annals. You know, you always have Bob Seger doing Roll Me Away, which is...
I love that.
You know, that is a great opener.
Didn't Bowie
for it.
And a surprise open,
didn't
too.
Didn't Bowie open up the 9/11 concert in New York with Heroes?
He opened with that America by Simon and Garfunkel on the Casio.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The little Casio up there. Yeah. That was great. Yeah.
And the Bowie show you mentioned was the Sound and Vision tour, which was one of the best shows that the Palace had. That was with Adrian Belew and the quartet.
I could not agree more. I love that show. Love Bowie. Gotta miss him. Well, Gary, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
We'll talk soon.
For sure.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Wear your mask.
All right.
Thanks, Gary.
Hey, if you're a man facing divorce, you need Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men. With Adam, you can get divorced without losing your house or kids. Don't take a chance with your future. Go with the best. A lot of guys go into this concerned. Am I going to get 50-50? Am I going to get my share? Am I going to lose my ass? Well, Adam has the knowledgeable, aggressive attorneys that you want. Call Adam at 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke Nowacki, he is sponsoring. God, he sponsors all our shows.
He does.
All of them. Is he the only one that sponsors? No, Hall sponsors all the shows, too. And Luke, we've been going back and forth on stuff with taxes.
Great guy.
And this is someone I need at least once a year. At least once a year. Actually, I should say at least three times a year. Because there's always tax implications to things that you do or things you can do to lower your tax rate or to save a few $100 or a few $1,000 or whatever you can. And with the market acting the way it is, it's a good time maybe to make some changes or maybe to go into the market if you're not in there yet. 248-663-4748. Luke Nowacki and his team specializing in hopefully charting a financial future with you or working on one if you don't really have a plan. You can email Luke at lnowacki@pinnaclewealthstrategies.com. Service Securities and Investment Advisory Services offer through Reliance Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC, Reliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned other entities, and all marketing and product service reference here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. So, we got an interview now with...
Well, I just texted you, Brandon. Were you able to... Oh, you just wrote me back.
Mark McCauley is okay. The guy who trademarked all those Redskin names.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's pretty... I thought that was pretty sharp. Pretty cool. I mean, it seems really weaselly.
Well, this has been going on for a very, very long time with various different things, not just with sports names, but I've told the story many times where a classmate of mine in college, she was paying for her college by purchasing URLs and then flipping them to companies. She sold at the time, it was something along the lines of like bigandsexy.com. She sold it to like Ford. I think that was the most expensive one she ever sold for over 20 grand. And whenever you typed in bigandsexy.com at the time, it would go right to like the big Ford trucks and stuff like that. I don't think it works now, but she had a series of URLs that she would always sell. And sometimes they would only flip for a few $100s and sometimes they were in the thousands.
That's pretty cool.
I wish I would have thought of that, you know, with Twitter and Instagram type of stuff where I just buy Coca-Cola and Ford and every single big company.
It doesn't work. Does Twitter work that way or does Twitter just say that's not you or you can't have that now?
Oh, there's plenty of stories of people who've had to purchase.
Oh, their own name.
Yeah, their own name, you know, just from somebody who went and got it first.
Yeah, there were some real shitty ones, too. I could swear Don Henley. Did not have his name.
Did he have Walden Woods?
Probably. And I believe the person that had his name asked Don Henley to do something in order to get his name in addition to somebody. Like he wanted him to read some manifesto.
I remember that.
I know. It was really silly. All right. Martin McCauley is the man who's in the middle of all this Redskins activity. Red Tails. If they name themselves the Red Tails or the Radskins, I kind of prefer the Radskins.
Oh, the Radskins is by far the coolest one, I think. I don't know.
Hey, Martin.
There he is. Hi.
Are you, are a lot of people telling you which name they like the best?
A lot of people say Red Wolves, but I don't think that's available because of Arkansas State.
Which one?
The Red Wolves?
Red Wolves.
Arkansas State Red Wolves.
Yes. Well, do they own the copyright on that? Or the...
They have... Arkansas State has a trademark for Red Wolves. And I thought that's what everybody was talking about when they said they can't go ahead because there's a trademark issue. I thought, well, they must be talking about the Arkansas State Red Wolves because they are in a lawsuit with a soccer team called the Chattanooga Red Wolves. They're very litigious.
Would you say that?
I thought that's what they're talking about. I didn't know they might be talking about one of mine because I said you can have these for free. On July 4th, I sent an email to the NFL attorneys, and the subject line was free trademarks, and I listed the ones they could have for free. And
Did you list all the ones you had or just certain ones?
Yes. I sent them a list of all the ones. That I had that were registered. They're welcome to take them. And to me, it just seemed like I'm doing them a solid. These are already registered. It takes $20 and 5 seconds to put them in their name.
Hold on.
Wait. If they want to have a trademark ready for the 2020 season, I don't think they have a lot of options. If they apply for one now, it doesn't even show up for an examiner's desk for 3 months.
Oh,
I was giving them a way to instantaneously get a trademark that is worthless to me.
Wait, you were doing this, Martin, hold on, time out. You were doing this for the Redskins all along? This is your idea was, I'm going to do the Redskins a favor and I'm going to...
I just have a really weird hobby and I'm kind of tired of explaining that I'm that weird that I would think this is fun as a hobby, but I did. Okay, so, so I'm in the spot now where I say, no, I'm not a selfish idiot. I just had a really strange hobby. So I acquired all these trademarks 6 years ago. They expired.
Was it really that fun? I mean,
they expired 6 years, so mine were about to expire. I have not used them in years. That's why they're worthless.
Well, what did you use them? Ever use them for?
Well, I got Washington Pigskins as a joke. A lot of people were applying for trademarks 5 or 6 years ago when there was speculation they might change the name. So, like, somebody applied for Washington Red Spears or Washington Skins or Washington R-word potatoes. Okay, so I applied to Washington Pigskins, and I actually bought pigskin coffee cups, and the NFL wrote me, said, we know you're trying to get a trademark for Washington Pigskins. We're aware of it. We'll allow it. And I thought, that's pretty cool.
Oh, that's nice. Why
would they even bother to write a letter?
Just write a magazine and say, shut up, NFL.
That's what I would have said.
No, it kind of inspired me to do it more. Then they created a monster. I went out and got a whole lot of trademarks because I thought it was cool.
I got to ask, though, you say this is really a hobby. What's the fun part?
Being right.
Okay, we're talking about 5 or 6 years ago. Okay, do I need to go back and explain what happened 5 or 6 years ago? Okay, the point is, these things are worthless. Any trademark attorney could go to court and get my trademarks canceled. Okay, so...
Then why was it... I don't understand. Why was this a fun hobby? I mean, I don't get the fun part.
Who cares? I don't care if you get my hobby.
I'm with you, Martin. I'm on your side.
Like there's some great joy involved, and I'm trying to figure out what that part is.
I'm on your side, Martin.
Okay, listen. Listen to this hobby, if you think that's a weird hobby. Okay, I am not a real estate agent. I don't know why in the internet people say I'm a realtor. No. What I did was, I am so weird, I went to real estate school and paid for it with no intention of being a realtor. I just wanted to take the real estate exam to prove I'm really good at the exam, okay? No intention of being
real. Well, I understand that.
I did that as a stockbroker. I understand that. I did a finance exam. I
understand
that
more.
I did a real estate exam in 3 states, okay? So do I have to keep justifying why I have a really weird hobby or just accept that people
I know you're really, this is a really sensitive area, apparently. I wasn't aware of that part. But I just want to know what the joy part was. I mean, if you ask me about one of my hobbies, I can tell you what I enjoy about it.
Fast forward to right now, okay? I have all these trademarks that are worthless to me. They're about to expire. The team needs a trademark so they can play with a new logo in 2 months. I remember.
So is the fun part being the hero?
4 years ago, you can have them. The only way that I see you can have a new logo and a new team name 2 months from now, take one of my four, which is Red Hawks, Americans, Renegades, or Red Tails.
Wait! I've heard that motto before.
Wait, Martin, I thought you said all of them.
You're forgetting the most exciting one, which is Redskins.
Oh, that's not mine.
What?
People call me a trademark squatter, okay? The definition of a trademark squatter is somebody who applies and never has an intention to use it and get it registered. Mine are registered. Okay, so, I mean, I went through all those things. People confuse it with a domain name. They think, this guy's like a domain name squatter. No, a trademark is different. You have to buy the product, put it for sale, make it your mark.
Get the fun part.
There's a lot involved here. You need to have tags and stuff. You can't just like take a picture of a T-shirt and say, this is my trademark. No, it's got to be your brand.
Okay. Sounds like a blast. But anyway,
But you got to get something out of the Washington Redskins right now before they change it.
I mean, don't you get season tickets?
They can get it for free. Mine are so worthless, any trademark attorney can go to court and get it for free.
Then why am I even talking to you?
I get my canceled.
I don't understand why. Why are you even part of the story then?
The media really got this one wrong, didn't they, Martin?
Well, in my opinion, they did. I'm not the whole... The trademark office application website has been down since last Friday. Maybe that's a factor why they haven't applied for a trademark.
Ooh.
They do not need to tell me they want one of my names. Just apply for it. Don't even tell me. Because if three months from now, when it comes up and the examiner says, hey, somebody applied for this before you with the exact same name, we have to suspend yours. Okay, then their choices are, they ask me, can we use your trademark? And I say, yes. And if I say, no, I want $1 billion, and they say, okay, we'll see you in court, and they get it for free in court.
Okay, so then really, it seems like the more sensible thing to do would be for you to just tell them that, and if they want to act on it, fine, but then to not to bother with anyone else, because it seems like it's so easy anyway.
I've been telling them that. I sent them an email with the subject line, free trademarks, on July 4th.
Oh, they deleted that.
Okay, so they maybe they know how easy it is to take it away from you, so they're not even bothering to ask.
Yeah, so they don't bother.
Yeah.
It might have gone to their spam folder.
So why are we bothering?
Too.
Martin, do you have the phone number for the guy that has Radskins? I want to talk to that guy.
No. Okay, my theory on why they didn't take me up on my free offer is because you can't really have a contract and put zero in there. There has to be something, you know, like even if you give a child...
Like season tickets from Art McCall.
Yeah, or $1. The ability to call an offensive player, too, in the first quarter. See? You have lost all leverage with this interview.
They have to put this, it's in exchange for $1, okay? But if they wrote me and said, yeah, we'll take you up on that offer, we'll give you $1, then it's like they're kind of acknowledging that my trademarks have a value. They don't.
Are you a season ticket holder?
No, I went to one game last year in a away game when I was in Miami, and I went to go see the Battle of the Winless Teams, and we really turned it around there. I did not wear burgundy and gold. I was there in an aquamarine shirt and kept my mouth shut, but I was hoping the Redskins, the R-word, team would pull it off, and they did. Turned the season around.
Wait, and you own the Red Tails, right?
Yes, that's the best option. That's the favorite on the odds board.
Really? That's like the Red Tails? Well, it just seems like a meaningless name.
Nobody's cleared it with the Tuskegee Airmen anyway. What if they don't like it?
I have a Red Tailed Hawk, and I would argue that if I have Red Tailed Hawk, that counts as having red tails because it's the same bird. You look it up in the dictionary.
You don't really have red tails. You have Red Tail Hawk.
I have a couple of applications for Red Tails.
Oh, they'll knock that down in a second.
But I have an actual in, like, most of mine are worthless. And
red is
Red Tail Hawk.
Power color.
Yeah.
Some people are saying, I'm just, you know, there's a lot of people on the internet. Some people are saying that you're trying to make this about you.
Why? Why would I?
I don't know. I have no idea. That's just what some people are saying.
The joy of your hobby.
I just thought maybe you'd want to break your silence about the people that are suggesting it's about you.
I don't understand the hate. You know, I mean, I try to keep the hate messages. My observation to that was, you know, if I get a message that says, "Don't you know you're an idiot because of fill in the blank?" And my answer is, you have in front of you a computer, the most powerful invention ever made, gives you access to all the information ever known in the world. You use it to insult strangers.
A lot of people do, unfortunately.
All right.
By the way, I saw your picture. Your picture's everywhere. It's in the Daily Mail. It's in this and that. And you got the shaved head and all that. It's a pretty good look.
Oh, thanks. Yeah,
kind of the Bezos look.
Yeah, I have interviews with Canada and the BBC. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is about this story, but there seems to be a lot of interest. I've had nonstop calls.
Maybe because people don't know how easily they could knock out your trademark. Maybe that's why they think that maybe there's some real negotiations coming up.
What else, Martin? What else have you trademarked for fun in your hobby? What other teams?
No, that's it.
Wait, so it's just these four? Then that's not much of a hobby, is it?
Oh no, I have a lot of like joke names and stuff that have no chance.
Well, let's hear them.
You know, pandas, Washington pandas.
Okay, so you have more than four.
Yeah, I have, but I narrowed it down to four that these are your best choices.
Well, how do you know what the best choices are?
So because
they're expiring.
Trademark wise, these are your only options. Because a football team, because you get a trademark in a different class of goods or different class of merchandise. Okay, so there's one class for apparel, and there's one class for a football team. Okay, so those are the four where I have both. Okay, that's why I think. Okay,
why don't you say they're all available and let them decide?
Apparel and a team, they're good to go.
Okay.
Those are the four where I have that.
Now, I don't know about conspiracy theories. That really bothers me. And I'm like you. You know, the computer, you can get anything you want in there and hear people throwing out conspiracy theories about Martin McCauley. Suggesting.
No way.
Yeah.
No, give me an example.
Well, some people were saying that you were so into the Redskins name that you trademarked everything else so they'd have no choice but to be the Redskins. Is that what do you say about that?
4 years. That's out there.
Oh, Oh, that's it rich. Now. No, no.
It's out there. It's getting some steam.
Change starting the name. Now. The time is now. They're not your mascot. You know, I agree with that.
Were you angry about the name Redskins? Were you hoping they would change it pretty soon?
I just thought it was pretty insensitive. I mean, it's not. But, you know, I was okay with Washington Warriors as its choice. Later, I found out that Native Americans think that misses a point because you would still have fans who associate Warriors with Native Americans, so with feathers and red.
Was Native American?
Think that really misses the point.
Were there people that thought
so it's not going to be Warriors?
Native Americans.
To that point, Martin, will you go register for me because I don't know how to do it? Will you register the Cleveland Indigenous Peoples for me? Why are you laughing?
Anybody with who has $275 and 5 minutes of spare time can go on and get their own registration. It's
$275.
I'll give you $300. Will you do it for me? Attorney.
Is it
sounds super hard.
$275? Seriously? I thought you said you did it for $20 for most of these.
So the assignment.
Okay.
$275 is to apply, but if you want to change the owner.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's $20.
Okay. Yeah.
You this know is a lot this. Of info to process.
Martin McCauley. He has got all these names for the Redskins. He's offered them. No response so far, apparently. Has there even been an inkling of a response from Dan Snyder?
No, and they don't. Well, I contacted the NFL. I didn't contact the Washington football team. I've gotten no response. Like I said, they don't need to. I mean, you know, why would they tell me? They should just apply for one of my names and use it, and I'll find out later.
Can you put out a press release saying that so people stop contacting you, acting as if you have something to do with this?
I got up early this morning. I went on a tweet storm trying to explain this because I got an engagement.
Well, there's any place to
explain. How did you get caught in the middle of this?
I was trying to figure out where is this hate coming from. So I got in a back and forth exchange with one of the haters, which I usually don't do.
Good idea. Who won?
But I was trying to figure out where is this hate coming from. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how these idiot trolls think.
Who was
this? So I tried to get in their
brain.
What was
the argument about?
What this guy say, Martin?
I don't know. I mean, nonsense, ludicrous stuff.
I'm looking at it right now. It's from some jerk at Jim Bentley 22. Don't
what's he saying, Brandon?
Trolls.
What's he saying? Any idea?
He's just being a complete jerk.
Wow, I hate that. All right, Martin.
You guys see me win that conversation?
It's a fascinating hobby, and apparently not quite as dramatic as a lot of people were led to believe that you were somehow at the center of this whole name thing. But still, fascinating. Of course, as is your Bezos look, and we appreciate your time.
Okay.
Thank you,
Martin. Hey, have a great night.
Thanks, Martin.
Good luck with the trolls.
Oh, you hung up. Could you explain why it's not a hobby?
Well, he acts like it's. I don't understand. Why is anyone talking to him?
Well,
I mean, I understand why we were talking to him, but why he just basically tells you that this is nothing.
Well, the other thing is he does have some that they could buy off of him. I mean, he revealed that later in the interview.
But he says that, oh, God, they go to court and throw me out in no time. So then what's the point? Why? He's not important.
I don't know.
Is he acting as if maybe it's more involved than it is?
I'm confused. Hobby.
I feel bad for him. He's just getting pounded on Twitter for no reason. He was not expecting that at all.
Well, wait. Why is he getting pounded on Twitter?
I know. He's also getting pounded on our Facebook Live.
For
so mad at him.
For taking the names, you mean?
Could be somebody sitting on their bed that weighs 400 pounds, okay?
I'm sorry. I could not understand. I just want him to tell me, why is this hobby so much fun? It just doesn't seem like a hobby. Yeah, buying names and then giving them away.
It's about being right. It's about being correct.
Oh, I guess, was he saving the names for them? Is that what he was doing?
No, I think if they were to offer him some compensation for one of his trademarks, that he would gladly accept
it.
I just think that he doesn't
want to
be that
quarter guy
that's out there saying, hey, I'll sell you this one, I'll sell you that one, because then you're a jerk. And I think that's where the haters come in. They think they're holding the Skins hostage.
Why not
the Washington football team.
Why not just accept being the jerk and live with it? Ride it. Try and get some money out of it, or some tickets. To play both sides, I just don't think it's working for him. Because I'm not buying the hobby. Oh my God, is this fun? Buying something that will never mean anything to me.
Yeah, that's a little weird. But then again, he probably has a bunch that he would sell to somebody.
Would you explain why it's not a hobby?
And this idea
that was our Facebook Live, wasn't it?
Huh? We are still on Facebook Live.
Okay.
And he does mention the four that they can have for free to play for the 2020 season.
They're
not going to play football.
What is he doing to select the four? That's not your job. He has no business suggesting that, whittle it down to the four that you want. No, you don't do the whittling. You have nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Facebook Live is brought to you by Emergency Response Services Incorporated. If you've got fire damage anywhere in the Metro Detroit area, storm damage, mold removal, or water. Water. If you have floating furniture in your basement or anywhere, or any kind of emergency of this nature, call.
Turn off the water.
Emergency Response Services Incorporated. They've already helped listeners that are now on track and back to normal thanks to Emergency Response Services Incorporated. They will even work with your insurance company directly, which can be very frustrating. It's always nice to have someone on your side.
Oh, yeah.
And half the time,
it's like I was on Martin's side.
877-JOB-DONE. Put it in your fridge, just in case one of these things happens. 877-JOB-DONE. That is really nice to have help with the insurance company. I always appreciate that. Or go to 877-JOB-DONE.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you to Emergency Response Services Incorporated. Mercy!
Yeah.
And since we're on Facebook Live, let's see. I'll mention one more thing. No, I won't mention it yet. Okay. Well. Nice to have a couple interviews today.
Yeah.
We're hopefully going to have one tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
About unsolved mysteries.
Hey, one last thing about the Washington Redskin thing. Brandon, I was telling Drew, do they have to change the name of Washington now, too? Because isn't that named after George Washington? So aren't they going to have to be, the D.C.?
That's the kind of thing.
D.C. Redskins?
I just can't believe people aren't going to start trolling that immediately when there's a new name and they're all settled in.
Hey, his name Washington's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You're racist. You're still racist.
I mean, anything's possible.
Yeah.
I think that would be kind of funny.
Yeah. Keep that argument going.
All right. So, Gary Graff and Martin McCauley. We got to have Martin back talk about some more of his hobbies, hopefully.
Well, that is a good question. What other hobbies does he have?
Did you guys see there was a presidential poll today? And Kanye got 2%.
And they're actually he's got a long way to go. Shocked he got 2%.
Meanwhile, his family is out here going, he is in the middle of an episode right now.
Okay, you know then why don't they stop him from being in the episode?
Thank you.
Well, they explain that he has these bipolar episodes and they last for 2-3 weeks at a time. So maybe it's just not up yet. And they expect him to, shelve his presidential candidacy soon.
So nobody can do anything when he has an episode other than just let him do every interview?
Yeah. And run for president. And possibly change the next president of the United States.
Yeah, he's got one of his spells, man. I don't know what you want us to do.
It can't be stopped. I mean, if we have a different president, too bad.
It's crazy. That's just Kanye. What if he wins? Sorry.
That's really funny. It's so silly.
That argument came from, I want to say, a TMZ article, which makes me mad because they capitalize off the Kardashians and Kanye more than anyone. So they have to play, his side.
I forget why I got dumb. I got really annoyed today with TMZ. Let's see, what was this?
Because
story?
It was on television.
Well, that's the usual reason. But it wasn't the Kanye West story, actually. Let's see. You come to me. No, not that.
Did they show the most exciting picture to hit the internet today, which I emailed Brandon
about? What picture?
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe this. We were talking about this picture, and we were hoping that this picture would be on the internet. And sure enough,
we were laughing yesterday off the air talking about the Johnny Depp trial. And all these
photos. Picture with the ice cream all over himself?
And that's how it started. That's how it started. And to which some people were saying, man, wish that was us in that picture. He looked really relaxed and just happy. But no, so then Brandon and I were talking about, all right, where's the picture of the turd? The picture of the turd.
Oh, I didn't think there was a picture.
It was entered into evidence today. What? Are you ready?
Gross!
Are you ready on Facebook, people? Because I'll put it up there, too. Let's see. Where's it at? Oh. Bam! Nope, wrong one. Bam! Nope,
is
wrong one.
Is that it right there?
That's it up there, yeah. That's
gross! That's the turd. Oh, my God! I would never go near her.
Smeared. I'm gonna
she
have to
can
show
unleash something show. Like that?
Why is it so smeared?
It's weird, too. It's like a weird color. Part of it looks really, really dark black, and the other part is either brown or
I should think she was hot.
Accidentally crapped out Johnny Depp's
any chick that
finger.
Produces feces like that is not hot. She That's needs, disgusting.
She needs to get to the doctor immediately.
There is a smell. It smelled like a sheep.
Let me see if I can find it for all the Facebook people. I'm sure they're just dying to see it.
How are her poops?
These two people, by the way, have completely destroyed each other. I mean, just completely destroyed each other.
It's kind of been entertaining from that aspect because there's no winners.
And there's a lot of stuff coming out that we never knew, too. Like Amber Heard assaulted a girlfriend a few years ago before Depp.
Yeah.
Amber Turd.
I love that.
It's Amber Turd.
Page Six has the story, and the headline is, "This is the poop that flushed Johnny Depp and Amber Heard's marriage away." Will you knock it off? All right, here for the Facebook people. Just dying to see it. There
but
it
that's
is.
What we were asking for just the there other day. You and I, Mark, we said, where is this photo? I hope it exists because we know.
And there's a close-up.
This whole libel suit is so messy right now that
almost
the
as messy
worst
as those
of the worst
sheets.
Of the worst is going to come out.
And it did, out of her butt and onto his bed. Oh. She, of course, is denying that it was hers. She's trying to blame that on a dog.
He took this picture. I mean, so he does the same thing she does, except all he had to take picture of was one turd. One really gross turd. God.
Do you think he took that picture, or do you think he went to, you need to take a picture of that turd in my bed to somebody, and some staffer had to
he
go in there.
He called the shit poop.
Take a picture.
Probably. Isn't it a little too much of a close-up?
Well,
I mean, it almost looks like
a
giant building or something.
That was my I cropped it.
Here, look at this picture. This is a little better version of it. And everybody on Facebook, I know you want to see it again. So there it is.
Oh yeah, that's much better
from a distance. And of course, there's Johnny's cool guitar in the background. See it right there.
Why does poop smell? And sometimes it's worse than others.
It looks equally unhealthy though from the distance. It looks just as unhealthy, which is amazing.
Actually, I'm looking.
Oh God,
what a
sick person!
I feel like CSI because I'm looking at the smear pattern. It looked like whoever it was didn't defecate in the bed. They took it and like kind of threw it and it just rolled.
Oh, that's probably where that smearing comes.
Unless you shook it off or something.
I don't think.
Or wiped like a dog.
Yeah, I don't think she was in the bed when that came out. I do think that it was placed there, tossed there, or something.
So she takes pictures of Johnny Depp passed out in embarrassing situations. And she records him on planes when he's, I don't know what he was doing on that plane. And this one story on Page Six was so strange because I'm going, wait, this can't be exactly true, can it? Johnny Depp on Monday claimed his then wife, Amber Heard, hit him with a haymaker the same night someone pooped in his bed. This is, by the way, hours after he found out he'd lost a staggering $750 million. It's like, wait.
That's like the third worst thing.
How do you show up for a meeting and go, you know what? You lost $750 million. It's the craziest thing. And I'm sure Johnny Depp was going, wait, I didn't even know I had $750 in the first place. I've never seen myself on the Ford list.
It's gone.
Because I've got stuff left. I still have a lot of stuff, and I lost $750 million? Well, some accounting errors and... It's funny. He says, oh, it's quite embarrassing. It's like, embarrassing? I think that's a little beyond embarrassing. When you lose track of $750 million.
Photos of the feces were admitted to the British court Tuesday as Depp's longtime maid described how she found it on the bed. So maybe she took the picture.
But they also show photos of the dogs. And those dogs are so tiny. These are little
not dog feces.
I know from having a dog that size that you're not going to get a turd that looks like that. You might get some little Tootsie Roll looking things, but you're not going to get one of those.
Oh, here it is. The maid took the photo because she was so disgusted by it. Housekeeper Hilda Vargas said in a written statement submitted to the British court that she arrived at the celebrity couple's penthouse around 3 p.m.
Selfie!
The day after the party to clean up and heard another cleaning lady call to her in horror from the bedroom. She was pointing to the bed. This is a quote. She was pointing to the bed and told me she couldn't believe what she had found. I can't believe what I found. I pulled back. So here's Varsity. I pulled back the top sheet on the bed and saw a large pile of feces. No, not to nitpick. Is that really a large pile of feces?
No,
crap.
It's just
a turd.
It's one unhealthy fecal
stool sample. I was horrified and disgusted. It was clear
smelly,
to me that
but I love it.
It was clear to me that this was human feces. I knew that the feces could not have come from either Mr. Depp or Mrs. Hurd's two small dogs. I've cleaned up after those dogs many times, and their feces are much smaller. Further, I have known these dogs not to defecate in the bed. Well, yeah, because they're dogs. Then she adds in the testimony, those feces were fresh from the night or early in the morning. Why is this housekeeper such an expert on feces?
Well, she's the housekeeper. That's why she's the housekeeper.
Yeah, well.
Here's a nice piece of shit.
She took the pictures because she was angry.
I mean, I don't want a housekeeper finding feces that isn't fresh, because that means it's been around and they're not really keeping up on all the feces in the house.
Touche, great point.
I don't know. Sometimes hard feces is just easier to pick up, though.
It is. So, anyway.
So you let it harden?
Since Pirates of the Caribbean 2 and 3, I had, and this is ludicrous to have to state, it's quite embarrassing. Apparently, I had made $650 million. But on his wife's 30th birthday in April 2016, he had a bad meeting concerning his former business manager, who he told the court had stolen the money. I had lost not only $650 million, but I was $100 million in the hole because they had not paid the government taxes for 17 years.
Oh.
What?
How do you not pay taxes for 17 years?
I don't. Well, on that money, I guess, because it never, he never had the money, I guess. I don't know.
Well, he had the money, he just wasn't claiming any of it.
So he leaves a meeting where he finds out that he's out $750 million and arrives to a birthday party where the guest of honor is very angry at him for being late.
What did he say? Hey, I just learned I lost $750 million, lady.
Well, I think he sort of did. Depp's lawyer pointed out that a nurse at the party, Aaron Borum, made notes calling Depp coherent, sociable, and affectionate, while Hurd appeared irritable and upset and angry with her husband because he was late. The actor was previously accused of hurling a magnum bottle of champagne at his wife that night, pushing her to the floor, yanking her by the hair, and leaving a note saying, "Happy fucking birthday!" But on Monday, he insisted Hurd was the violent one, pointing to a secret recording she made 3 months later that captured him telling her, "You fucking haymakered me, man." Calls his wife man? That's kind of weird.
Yes, very.
"You came around to the bed to fucking start punching on me," he said in the tape. Asked to elaborate on what a haymaker was, he said, "It's just a type of wild swinging, just a roundhouse punch, as it were." The court was told Hurd was furious that he had gone to bed to read on her birthday. "Under the circumstances of being harangued and forced into some argument or altercation, I didn't think it was the wrong thing to do. I thought it was best to remove myself from the argument because it seemed ridiculous to me." The actor then was asked if that was something he did only once during arguments, which he said, "No, sir, quite a lot." The same night, Depp previously claimed Hurd herself or one of her cohorts had left human feces in his bed, which he said his wife dismissed as a harmless prank. The defecation incident was the moment he finally decided to end the marriage. Depp stepped up the witness stand.
Yeah, this is what he said when confronted about some of those abusive allegations.
"I'm not really no woman beater type of dude. Now, I will lay my goon hand down. If I have to keep going over the same thing over and over again, I am going to pull it on back for a comb her head. You know what I mean?"
He sounds a little different on the stand, but it's actual audio. Johnny Depp. Oh, boy, these people. Who's going to win this one? He's suing her for $50 million.
Wow,
does she have $50 million?
Oh, she doesn't have $50 million.
But he just blows $750 million, doesn't even know it.
He's just mad, and rightfully so, and just wants it to be proven in court no matter what happens.
Well, I got to tell you, I am utterly fascinated by a lot of things in this story. One, just because it's Johnny Depp, and it's this incredibly hot 27-year-old.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think, oh, my God, what a lucky guy. He's with this gorgeous woman. And then you read about all these texts where she calls him like a burned-out old man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really offensive things about him being old, which...
And fat, didn't she call him fat?
Yeah,
at
fat
one point?
Old man.
Yeah.
Fat
okay.
old man.
Yeah, that was part of that.
She's definitely...
Sounds like we both got pussy problems.
She's definitely trying to bring him down.
Yeah.
Because if you were her age and you married a guy 25 years older, what is he? Is it 25 years, 26 years? Obviously, you would, I would think you would know that insulting them about their age would be very a very mean thing to do. But she seems to take joy in it.
Yeah,
it seems like she's trying to put him down.
He does too, though. I mean, writing the stuff he wrote. Oh yeah,
calls her slut.
I mean, they're perfectly aligned for each other. They're both assholes.
Yeah,
they hate each other.
I'm honestly amazed that.
Well, that sex must have been good.
I personally can't believe that either one of them would stay in something this horrible.
It's good sex.
I don't know. I never. I mean, she's banging Elon Musk.
Hey, not only did she did
Elon Musk.
Not only did he call her Amber Turd, he also called her Amber in the Dumps because of her poop.
Oh,
dumps.
That's what does that mean?
I don't know. That's what made me laugh about it. Amber in the Dumps.
Okay.
Well, sense.
I tell you, one of the reasons the story is so fascinating, I want to continue this thought, is because I just thought it was. It just says a lot. That the Washington Post apparently reads about this case, the divorce, where Johnny Depp gives her $7 million, which she then turns over to a domestic or a shelter for abused women, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was the plan all along.
Right off.
And it seemed like, Kat, that's a seems like an admission of something horrible. And it just was weird, though. It's like, why does anyone even do that? It seemed vindictive. But I guess with the amount of money he has, maybe that was an easy way out.
Be done with it, yeah.
And also because, well, if you count up the $750 million he lost, I mean, maybe he owed her a lot more. I don't know. And what was the point of all this? Especially because she clearly is abusive. So she can't feel that strongly about, I want to send a message. She's an abuser. I mean, that's not even open to argument. So the Washington Post decides we need somebody to write an op-ed about domestic violence. Who better than Amber Heard?
Yeah.
And then she writes this op-ed, and Johnny Depp is like, okay, I can pay the $7 million to get this bitch out of my life, but I can't take this fucking lecture from this abusive whore.
Yeah.
Who banged? How many guys did she sleep with while she? I mean, imagine that she's married to Johnny Depp and she sleeps with James Franco, Elon Musk.
Did she nail Franco? Is that for certain?
Yeah, that is. Well, they were. He was being criticized for saying, "So, how did James Franco fuck you? Or how'd you like fucking James Franco?" I mean, he was really quite pissed.
Well,
about
he was very controlling with her and her acting career to a bizarre level too.
I don't know that much about that part of the story. Well,
she claims that she had to hide nude scenes and schedules from him because he was just overly involved. Like, who are you going to be filming with?
She has seven people listed after Johnny Depp on whosdatedwho.com. And
thank you, Brandon.
Who would prior, that be? There's actually some pretty interesting people on here.
What do you got?
Let's see. A who's bunch on the after list? I do not know.
Wait, who's on the after list, first of all?
Well, Elon.
Well, there's only one of note, now that I see it, before Depp. Crispin Glover in 07.
What? Crispin Glover?
Weird.
07?
She likes weird guys.
Wait, how old is she in 2007? She can't be that old. How old is she now?
She's 34 now.
Oh, she's 34. Okay, so she was 21. Okay, who else?
Crispin Glover, then.
That would have been made Crispin Glover somewhere in his mid-40s.
Okay, and who is after Johnny Depp?
Okay, Marie de Villepin. I don't know who that is, but it's a lady.
It's a lady.
Nice.
And then Cara Delevingne. That nice. One model.
Yeah, they had a three-way.
Oh, yeah, that's the one that while they were married.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. James Franco. Elon Musk.
Uh-huh.
Vito Schnabel.
Is that dude?
Oh.
I don't know who that dude is.
Is that an actor?
Andy Muschietti.
Don't know who that is.
That's a fake name. No one's named Muschietti.
And Bianca Booty. And she's
no one's named Bianca Booty.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah.
And by the way, that one guy who you asked, let's see, Vito Schnabel. I never even heard of this dude, but look at his Who's Dated Who. Ellie McPherson, Liv Tyler, Demi Moore, Heidi Klum, and Amber Heard.
What's his name?
Wow. Vito Schnabel. I know this guy from somewhere.
I don't know the story. Do you know the story?
Schnabel.
He's an art dealer.
Oh, he looks like a wonderful man.
Okay. Yeah, he looks familiar. I don't know why. Maybe he looks like an art dealer.
Maybe you bought art from him.
I don't think so. How old is Schnabel?
Schnabel.
33.
He's only 33? Wait, Elle McPherson's like 50, mid-50s, isn't she?
He's the son of Julian Schnabel.
Oh, okay.
The director.
That reminds me.
Really cool director, too.
Diving
Bell and the Butterfly. Can't recommend it enough to you.
I want to come back to the opinion page. But first, because we're talking about being in your mid-50s, it reminded me of something today. I'm talking to Matt, who just texted me, by the way, to tell me that we have now... Wait. Our audience...
It's over 3,000,
has now
right?
taken $60,000. We've now drained Royal Oak out of 60 grand out of the 400 grand this program.
I just saw they did a story on Channel 4 about it, too. So.
Oh, okay. Well, then someone besides our people will have money pretty soon.
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyway, I'm talking to Matt about how well this thing is going. The lift thing's going great. It's all good with Royal Oak, man. And Matt ends up telling me that, the Duff played with us this morning. And he tells me a little story about it. I'm like,
played?
Softball.
Oh, okay.
And I was thinking, wait, Matt plays in these over 55 leagues. And all of a sudden it kind of dawned on me that Charlie's not 55, is he? And
it's funny. I have no idea how old Charlie is.
And so Matt says, no, he's not. I think he's 54, actually, or 53. But they're allowed to have one 53 or 54-year-old on an over 55 team. You're allowed to have one baby. Why so Charlie's the team's baby.
Why not just have an over 50 league?
Well, they're just letting you have like one ringer, I guess. So anyway, he goes on to tell me that Charlie, you know, gives 110%, plays really hard. He's very good. And Charlie blew the minds of everyone on the softball diamond by sliding head first.
Awesome. Good.
A 54-year-old guy sliding head first in a softball game.
That's
got to be,
man.
Got to be the first head first slide.
You suck at softball and you suck at life.
In 55 plus league history. It's got to be.
Was he safe?
I assumed that he was. I hope if he slid head first and he was out, I'm going to be very unhappy.
Well, the guy applying the tag must have just been so confused by the whole thing, probably didn't bother to tag him.
Yeah, I would just forget where I was if
that
happened.
What's this guy doing?
That is so weird. And also, Matt reminded me that we were shushed another time.
Oh, really?
But it wasn't at the Palace. We were shushed at Mamma Mia in London.
So many questions. Why? No, starting with, why were you at Mamma Mia?
Because the ladies all wanted to go.
Well, they can go.
I don't know why we went. I really don't. But it was at...
See, no wonder you hate musical theater. You go to bad shows. You're forced to.
Well, people love Mamma Mia. I mean, I didn't think I'd like it, but ladies. I went anyway. And it was... we were staying in Leicester Square, which is great. And Matt had stayed there before at the Hampshire House, which is... It's convenient to so much stuff. And I went to not only Mamma Mia, I went to Mrs. Robinson, and to my surprise, you know, they have this big booth, which is half off tickets for the shows, because there's so many shows.
The TKTS booth.
And that's one of the reasons people love going. I mean, not the reason I love going, but anyway, so we were just kind of screwing around in the line, and like, who wants to go to what, and The Graduate. And it's like, well, I love the movie. If I have to go to something else, I'll go to The Graduate. I don't think this was the same trip. And so bought the tickets, which were half price. They weren't even that much money. They were like maybe $20. And I just thought we had tickets, you know, anywhere. And I go in, hand the tickets to the person, and he starts walking down, and and we get down to the front row. We're in the front row.
Whoa.
I had no idea. And it wasn't even that expensive. So
now you got to be on your best behavior.
So now, and this is after the incident at Mamma Mia. I think that was before that. So it's Mrs. Robinson is Ann Archer.
Oh, nice.
And that's when She starts taking her clothes off.
Hey.
And Ann Archer was naked like 2 feet from me.
Nice.
And I was like, what is going on here? This is like that weird dream where your teacher starts getting naked in front of you or something. Yeah. I mean, it was like, what the fuck is going on? I had no idea. I had absolutely no idea that was going to happen. So, I mean, I think I left at halftime because I just wasn't that into it. But
great. Now Ann Archer thinks you left because she got nude in front of you. That man in the front row left because I'm atrocious.
But at Mamma Mia, I think this whole thing started because we were opening a piece. We both were opening candy. And it was really loud.
Yeah.
And this guy who Matt insists was from India. I remember I thought he was from India, maybe. But he insisted. Oh, yeah, he's from India. And he turned around briefly. And then we were sort of whispering about laughing about the how loud the rappers were.
Yeah.
And then that's when he shushed us because we were talking.
I hear you.
And Matt's insists the curtain wasn't even up. So
you wish.
The funniest part was, we go out the side door into Soho, and there's that Indian guy, and he's like wagging his finger at us.
Whoa.
Like he's still angry about it.
Was he just standing there solo wagging his finger? Or was he telling somebody?
I think he had a child with him, like a
12-year-old.
Yeah, but he was wagging his finger at us. We're like, what the fuck are you kidding me?
Was he telling his child, those are the people I had to shush?
Probably.
Or was he wagging his finger like, you were very rude.
Yeah, it was yeah, you were very rude. It was at us. It was like he really, you know, wanted to have it out.
Wow.
You messed up the wrong guy, okay?
Now, I didn't want to beat his ass in front of his kid.
I was going to say, if it was 2020, you should have pulled out your camera phone and then posted it on Twitter and started a fight.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
Yeah, that would have been the response you would have gotten.
You're very, very special people.
What a darn shame. Do you have a boner line, Brandon?
Hey, you know what I do?
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well. Calls are still coming in at 209-66-BONER, as well as really good text messages, too, that I try to respond to.
Well, then we should get to Manscaped in a second here. We got Manscaped in here, don't we?
Here.
You want to handle that? And then Manscaped and the boner line. And I'll refresh because, there's some really ironic and sort of incredible news today that I want to talk about, among other things.
That was
crazy. Get out of here.
So take it away.
It's very interesting. Let's see. Zot, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, and deals in the D.com. They're all fired up because their community customers and the Zot team are back at full strength to safely serve all of you and all of your automotive needs. Their sales and service continue to be busy as ever. And with Zot's new delivery truck, they're excited to deliver your dreams to your driveway. All the Zot dealerships have quickly and safely adapted to the new training to ensure they can continue to deliver you the world-class experience you deserve. During Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram's Drive Forward event, feel free to go online to enjoy their enhanced shopping experience and check out their unprecedented deals like a new 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn for only $188 a month. Or if Jeeps are what you want, by the way, you got to get them quick because the inventory's wearing out on Jeeps because everybody loves Jeeps. And with coronavirus, that was in that big story about how they're going to run out of Jeeps. But they have a deal right now, the 2020 loaded Jeep Compass at just $155 a month. And then there's always the new 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee for as low as $247 a month. And, of course, there's the Wrangler right now. Get Zot's employee pricing for everyone, 0% financing and $1,500 in rebates if you want a new Jeep Wrangler right now. Speaking of right now, you have to hurry because, like we just said, all that inventory is driving up quick, especially for the Wrangler. That means your best selection is today. So get the party started at our studio sponsors, deals in the D.com. Batman, right there. There's going to be a lot of interesting things going on because Jeep and Ford are really going at it with the Bronco Wrangler battle.
Yeah. I saw all the new commercials today since it's official.
That's right. Today's the day since it's not OJ's birthday anymore.
Right.
For the Bronco and the Bronco Sport.
Yeah, I want to, I don't know, I'll take a look at it. I really love the ones in the 90s. I really love the K5 Blazers. I love the big.
They're cool.
I love the box type style SUV.
No, I hear you. Everyone's concerned about saving gas or whatever. Was I supposed to read Manscaped too?
Yes.
You want to talk about your pubes? How short are your pubes right now, Brandon?
I wouldn't be able to tell you because they just don't exist.
Non-existent pubes, thanks to the Lawnmower 3.0, the best and safest way to trim those pubes down. It's the beautifully designed mower. You know, little, what do you call them? Trimmers, I guess. It's the third generation trimmer that they've done, and it's got, is it porcelain? Is that what the blade is? So it doesn't nick and pull and cut you when you're trimming anywhere on your body, but particularly your balls or your pubes. It's the Lawnmower 3.0. We all know about the LED light, the long-lasting battery that's 90 minutes long, and, of course, that beautiful charging stand so you can show that mower off to anybody that comes. You might as well just put it right in the front of your house so when people come in to visit you, they can see that Lawnmower 3.0 sitting on the stand. It's the pride of your house. It's basically a piece of artwork. Right now, you can get 20% off and free shipping with the code DREW at manscaped.com. That's 20% off. Free shipping at manscaped.com. Use promo code DREW. Your balls will thank you, and they bring you the boner line.
Oh, my God. You guys are driving me fucking crazy.
Oh, no.
Incorrect correction. Graham Parsons did not die at 16. He died at 12, or he, oops, bye. All right, take two.
Megan!
Graham Parsons died at 27, not 24.
Sorry.
His father died at when he was 12 by a shotgun blast to the head on Christmas Day.
Sorry.
Also, he didn't die of a heroin overdose. He died of a morphine overdose.
Sorry.
That's just the ones I can remember. Come on, guys. Get it right.
It's always nice to really know your subject. I know that subject.
A sweet-ass idea for the Washington Redskins game. Why not just call them washing skins?
Nice name, not.
Like, everyone's got such a fucking hard-on about washing your hands nowadays. Washing skins. Everyone has fucking skin, and you need to wash it.
Wash your hands thoroughly. A full 20 seconds.
On the Thursday show, when Kristen delivered dinner to Brandon, Brandon was hesitant to even call it a salad because there was so much going on there. He felt like the word salad didn't even do it justice. And it reminded me of Mike Clark's salad story where he's like, you know, these salads, they almost act as a dessert the way we build them.
This salad is so awesome the way we build them that it almost acts as a dessert. It's really, I know it's strange.
That is very strange.
Yeah, but
I
we
think.
Always do it that way.
Okay.
And it's really fabulous.
Okay.
All right.
That sounds delicious.
If businesses are allowed to decide whether or not people with masks can come into their business, they can also decide whether or not they make a cake for you. Think about it.
You make very compelling arguments.
Am I the only one that thought it sounded like Maz was doing bong hits in between speaking when you guys were talking to him?
I do love the smell of pot.
I heard Drew talking about the Polka King documentary that he had seen. I saw that about a year ago, and right at the same time, there's a dramatization of that same story starring Jack Black as the Polka King. Definitely worth checking out if you liked the documentary.
I would rather wear Sally Jesse Raphael's panties like a ski mask than see this film.
One drop I really miss is Drew and Mike laughing after the Henry Kissinger volleyball interview. You should play that more.
Hello?
Dr. Kissinger?
Yes. Dr. Kissinger.
In Drew's favorite movie, She's Out of My League. I don't even know if you guys have ever played the drop, but they're in the pool, and Kirk brings home Hot Molly, and then one dude pops up out of the pool and says,
Boner Patrol!
I want to hear from that old piece of shit that used to do his little puppy, that poor puppy, Sunshine. He said, I'm going to have your ass burnt.
I'm going to have your ass burnt.
Per Drew's request, 10 minutes, boobs, done. Genius.
An hour, in and out, done. Boobs. Genius.
Okay, couple drops. The Homer Simpson, a gun isn't a weapon, it's a tool.
A gun is not a weapon, it's a tool. If I didn't have this gun, the King of England could just walk in here anytime he wants and start shoving you around. You want that? Huh? Do you?
Yeah, I got two old drops for you. One's an old Ray and Pete. You're not sick, you stupid son of a bitch.
You're not sick, you dumb son of a bitch. The only thing wrong with you is you're a lazy
f***er. Number two is an old Homer Simpson. Well, if it isn't the leader of the Weenie Patrol.
girl, if it isn't the leader of the Wiener Patrol.
Drops that you guys haven't heard in a while are Larry Flint when he goes, I'd like to follow that guy around and smell his finger.
I'd like to just follow him around someday so I can smell his finger.
All right, so I went to the Toledo Zoo today.
Good for you.
Reminded me of a drop I haven't heard in a while. A dingo ate my baby.
That dingo took my baby!
He's pretty much my favorite animal.
Bye-bye, son of a bitch.
And that's it for the day.
Well done. God, those are great.
All right. So, I think when we left off, I was talking about the opinion op-ed that Amber Heard wrote in the Washington Post, which boy, I have to believe she regrets that. Maybe she doesn't, though. She seems really clueless.
Well, I think at the very least she would regret it for going through all this. I mean, who the hell wants to go to court?
No, but she goes in there smiling, all dressed up, looking great. With her friend or her sister or somebody?
I don't think it's really helping her career.
I wouldn't think
no.
so.
No. I thought she lost the Aquaman 2 gig, which in turn is supposed to mean she loses the Justice League gig.
Well.
Those are huge movies.
Yeah, they are.
And he has also said in his testimony that it became quite obvious to him, and he was even led to believe this more firmly once they started splitting up, that she really was looking for a career boost from him and not much else.
Nice.
And judging from the fact that she slept with Elon Musk and James Franco, it doesn't sound like she... I don't know. I mean, who knows what motivates people.
What has she been in? Has she been in any movie that people talk about? I honestly don't know. Am I missing it?
That's really funny that you say that because you know how I know Amber Heard?
From Johnny Depp.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And she's really pretty.
In The Fappening. I think she was a big member of The Fappening.
Well, I remember all the way back in like Alpha Dog because I remember her being really hot. Yeah. I mean, that was like 15 years ago. But then she was in Pineapple Express. She played Seth Rogen's high school girlfriend. I remember her from that. There was Zombieland.
There's another one that
I'm not remembering. This a pretty big movie.
She's done nothing.
Yeah, I just can't think of her. I don't think of her as like an actress I want to see in something. She's really pretty.
Yeah.
But
she's
anyway.
Like a lot of other
I can't,
actresses.
I honestly cannot imagine. Because finding people who are hypocritical in social media or in all these things going on, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. I mean, it's a joke. But to think that. You are a domestic abuser, which she clearly is, and a pretty bad one, too. And she has all the characteristics, too. In fact, when she was denying it, her denials were all pointed out as those are absolutely the denials of someone in denial. She says all the standard things that abusers say, like, oh, that didn't hurt, or, you know, I really didn't hit you hard, or, you know, it doesn't mean anything, and. I mean, she really was in complete denial. She really did not feel she abused him in any way, but she did in a number of ways, throwing bottles at him. And, you know, I'm not going to run down the list, but it's a pretty long list. How could you write an article about domestic abuse when you behave that way? I mean, that takes some kind of, I don't know, sociopath?
I don't even know.
I can't imagine someone doing that.
Perhaps she thought she wouldn't be challenged because it's one of these issues, and it was at the time right in the midst of Me Too and Time's Up.
Well, I'm sure she didn't think she'd be challenged, but, you know, it's very, I guess, Jesse Smollett-esque, you might say, because she's trying to put herself in this light as a domestic abuse victim to gain more attention for herself, which is... I mean, that's really fucked up. But
is it possible they were both abusers?
Oh, yeah, I think they were both abusers. But now that we know
she
that
just didn't
her...
That's the irony. She didn't recognize that she was abusing him whilst being abused.
Oh, I think she knew what she did. She had the police called on her with another partner.
That's not what I mean, but she's trying to justify it because she was being abused or something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, she said a lot of things that typical abusers say.
Yeah.
But she had the police called on her for abusing a female partner previously. So she's not a complete stranger to the idea that she might not be the best spokesperson for abused people who've undergone abuse.
I don't know, you know. It happens.
Anyway.
I've seen girls do this.
I've seen a lot of strange things with opinion pages lately, and the Washington Post is one of them. Just the fact that she was given that platform, you know, I guess they just didn't know any better, and they didn't really look too closely into it, because they would have found out she was arrested for it earlier.
Yeah, it's an opinion piece, and she had just won a settlement of the $7 million.
But she had also been arrested for domestic assault. And I don't know if the Depp stuff was really out there then. I don't think it was. But nonetheless, whatever the reason was, it was certainly a poor decision. And then it wasn't – I'm trying to remember when this was. I guess it was when Kobe Bryant died. And that girl put out the link immediately to, you know, read all about this rapist that just died.
Yeah.
And of course, she got trolled heavily. People were really pissed. And Washington Post told her to take the tweet down. Mm-hmm. And she didn't. And they told her to take it down a couple hours later. And she said, I'm so triggered by all these people and the death threats that I couldn't take it down yet. I guess she had to read all her threats and all the trolls before she could do that. So anyway, it turned into this big mess inside the Washington Post because so many people inside the building felt that she should have tweeted it. It was appropriate. He died. It was true. And, you know, on and on. And they, I think, did they end up apologizing to her? Because they wrote a lengthy editorial in her favor the next day saying that she did what was perfectly normal to tweet out the most horrible thing about a person who just died tragically with his 12-year-old girl, which was not normal at all. In fact, it was really pretty rotten. But anyway, it just, in reading the genesis of the story and what was going on at the Washington Post, it was like, who is running this place? What is going on? It just
Bezos.
It just didn't make sense to me that this is the Washington Post. And recently I felt that way with the New York Times when, you know, they get trolled on Twitter and they change their headline, which I think has happened two or three
times. They changed the Twitter post, yeah.
No, they changed the headline of an article.
Okay.
I mean, I think so. Hold on.
Well, whatever. Who cares? Okay, fine. They changed the headline.
Well, no, I don't want to be wrong. That's what I thought they did. New York Times. Anyway, they were responding to the Twitter mob on more than a couple occasions. Changes. Stirring. Headline.
All right, so New York Times changed the headline.
They changed front page Trump headline after backlash. No. New York changes story headline three times to shield Dems from blame after blocking blah, blah, blah. New York Times changes headline about Trump's gun violence story. New York Times changes headline following pressure from Democrats. New York Post. New York Times changes its headline, caves to the mob. Trump rips New York Times for altering coronavirus negotiations headline to, I don't even know what that story is. Anyway, so yeah, they get trolled on Twitter. For
the failing New York Times.
I wish I could remember there was one that was really huge because I think they changed it twice.
Yeah, that I want to say that was the one that I was. It was the one from the pressure of AOC.
Oh, was it AOC?
Yeah.
Okay, so not only that, you know, when this whole and I don't want to get into it because it's just stupid anyway. And I think I'm not sure I really got the point I was trying to make across, but you know, when this whole thing with Biden came up and this girl said he, you know, he sexually assaulted her and he, you know, did this and that, and I don't want to get into specifics, but, and the New York Times didn't write anything about it for, I think it was 25 days or some, it was a long time. And I personally thought, now wait a second. They will leap on a sexual assault story in no time flat, and they have many times. But they didn't for Joe Biden. And when I looked into it, the weird thing was that the New York Times readers were livid about it. In fact, the New York Times readers were angrier than anyone. I mean, Fox News was talking about it a lot and certain people. New York Times readers were angry because they felt it was bullshit because they were Bernie Sanders supporters. And the day the New York Times reported on the story, which is really kind of an old story by then, Bernie Sanders had just lost. And I don't know if it's the primary that put Biden over the top or what it was, but anyway,
crazy Bernie.
Bernie Sanders supporters were all up in arms at the New York Times. So anyway, they did an editorial, an opinion piece on this, and they talked about the story and why it wasn't a story, and then why it was a story.
What story?
And then they went on to say that they were going to say this, but the Biden campaign objected, and that led to all these people complaining. The Biden campaign objected, you know, as though they ran it by the Biden campaign. And anyway, it just sounded like a clusterfuck. So today, the New York Times opinion editor quit and said she was being bullied by coworkers, that bullying people about opinions, she said bullying about people about opinions is not objective. It's suffocating. It goes against everything this country is supposed to stand for. Oh, wait, those might be my words. This is the opinion change. She said she made a number of statements. I mean, it's actually a very long letter she wrote to the, I don't know if it's to the editor or who it is, but that the New York Times does not want diversity of opinion. She said that she was brought in because she's very moderate. She's not like an arch right wing person, but she's not a liberal. She's a moderate. And they felt that they needed a voice like that on their opinion page. But then she said,
she's very, I've seen her on Bill Maher a lot. She's very anti-Trump. So,
well, you'd think she would have fit in at the New York Times, but she was not liberal enough. And they were very angry at her editorials. And they told her so all the time in the building. And her point was that, look, there were managers and editors who saw this going on, who saw people, I mean, first of all, I think it's bullshit when people in other departments want to go over and complain. I now remember we had somebody in a morning show who liked to go over and get in arguments with the promotional staff about what they were doing. And I was like, fuck you. What are you doing? We have plenty of work that isn't done. That's not our business. Who fucking cares? So I don't understand this business of all these people in newspapers who think that all these decisions, you know, should require their approval. But it sounds like that's the way it was going for this gal. I thought I wrote her name down.
Barry Weiss.
Barry, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And she sounded, you know, I didn't read a ton about it today, but it sounded like she was a pretty respected person.
A lot of it stems from, too, I don't know if you remember when they had, what's that senator? What's the Alabama senator, the younger guy? I don't know. He wrote an op-ed in the New York Times.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tom Cotton. Tom Cotton? Is there a senator named Tom? Anyway.
Was he from Tennessee?
I thought he was Alabama. Maybe it's Alabama.
But, yeah. He's from Arkansas.
Yeah, she had him write an op-ed, didn't she?
Oh, I didn't know she was the one that
yeah, she's the editor of the page.
So, there's more. Okay. I didn't know she was the overall editor.
I think so.
Because I thought the editor of the page quit over Tom Cotton's op-ed that they printed.
Anyway, she's been there since 2017. Well, I think
multiple.
Yeah, that's true.
Opinion editor.
Yeah, op-ed where he said to send in the military.
He wanted to send in the military troops.
Calm down the protests
in the cities.
The rioting.
This was early on. It's like a week after George Floyd, a lot of people at the
that
time
of an unpopular opinion during when we were in the midst of it and when things were burning down.
Well, I thought it was ridiculous that guy quit over that because that's an opinion page. It shouldn't have it. The problem is people are going to mix the opinion page with the reporting.
Oh my God, this one is so sensitive.
It's supposed to be different opinions, and sometimes papers that surprise the hell out of you by having something that is completely out of bounds for, you know, the kind of things they do because they're considered to be right or left. And a lot of times that's very significant because it's like, oh, my God, look, that paper even said that, or they had an opinion person say that. It's not always a bad thing, but it's supposed to be a place where are different views of things. And that's my complaint with what's going on at college campuses now is that if you don't think one thing, you are bullied. You are a piece of shit, and you will take a lot of crap. And no one is standing around saying, hey, We're supposed to have a free exchange of ideas here, not one idea that's always right or one side is right. No, it's an exchange of ideas, but that's not what she felt she entered into.
Sensitive. Okay.
The free exchange of ideas is no longer possible. Intellectual curiosity is a liability at the New York Times. She calls herself a centrist, but she says she was called a Nazi, and she said a racist too many times to count. Showing up for work at a centrist newspaper should not require bravery, but that's how it felt. And I'm sure it won't make a trickle of difference to the people at the New York Times, but for what it's worth, they did have. I was kind of surprised to find out they had a centrist editor.
Fun fact about her: she dated Kate McKinnon, I think, when they were in college.
Oh, the Saturday Night Live girl?
Yeah.
Well, Barry Weiss is pretty. I thought she was pretty. I mean,
she's all yours.
Who is?
She's okay.
A lesbian?
Well, let me look her up.
She's okay. I'm just based.
I've only seen one picture of her in my life.
I've never seen her on TV. You can have her.
I never knew who she was until today. So I'm not putting myself too far. What? You don't think she's?
She's okay. I said she's okay, but I'm not. I wouldn't.
No,
fight.
When you say you can have her,
I'm not going to fight her for it. I'm not going to fight you for her.
is that a good picture of her?
Yeah, but that's
sometimes
also,
people take abnormally good pictures and go, "Oh man, she's pretty," and then you find out, "Oh no, she's not that pretty."
That's also a headshot. Brandon, do you want to go lowbrow and judge her attractiveness?
I think she looks fine. I don't know. I don't know where I am.
I'm sure that the Bill Maher stuff
gives you a better indication of what she looks like when you can hear her talk. I just see the pictures. What was surprising to me was that she dated Kate McKinnon, and then when they broke up, she went back to dudes.
Yeah, she's married now, right?
Well, she was.
Yeah. Oh, she's not.
Well, anyway, maybe it's because I don't expect opinion editors at the New York Times to be terribly attractive, and maybe that's my problem, because I thought she was kind of cute. Anyway, so interesting day at the New York Times. And along with that, this doesn't really belong in a category with it, but I'll throw it in there anyway. Chrissy Teigen.
Oh, no. What now?
She is worried for her family.
Well, then she better stop posting online. And she better just disappear for a while if she's worried.
You know, They were printing some of, here's what was going on before she suddenly deleted a ton of tweets. Just deleted a ton of tweets.
Good.
And so because she did that, a lot of people are suggesting, oh, well, what was in those tweets? And people are accusing her of being part of Epstein's pedo team.
True, there are so many ridiculous stories. This is just in one day. This Chrissy Teigen chick has like 9 different stories about her.
Flying on Pedophile One or whatever. What's it called? Lolita One. Yeah, flying on Lolita One.
Was she?
Fuck if I know. I doubt it. I don't know. This is the internet we're talking about.
She must
this
have
is
been
Twitter.
Underage. She must have been underage when it happened.
This is Twitter. Remember? Twitter, the place where she judges people all the time.
Yeah.
And where I'm sure she many times has liked a tweet or retweeted something about the latest Nicholas Sandman or whoever it might be or whoever she wanted canceled. Actually, it seems that where this all stems from is she's going after this Goya guy. CEO of Goya, who said those nice things about Trump, and then she wants to boycott Goya. How cute. Boycott Goya. And people were trolling her because this is what she does. And, you know, I always heard, oh, she's so good at it, because she, you know, she swings back so well. And they were just showing some of the people saying, I just bought, $29 worth of stuff from Goya because I support Goya even more now. And so she's responding to these people. Oh, you dumb shit.
What a great use of time.
Yeah, but she's calling these people dumb shits. And, it just was so dumb. It's like, what is she doing? Why are these people trolling her? Why is she trolling back? Whatever. Anyway, so then these things start going out about her flying on Lolita One, and she's part of Epstein's pedo team, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, she's like, all of a sudden, things people say on Twitter really matter. Because they're about her.
They disagree.
And they're not true.
Yeah.
And so she's worried for her family. So she deleted 60,000 tweets.
60,000 tweets.
God, I didn't even
know. 60,000.
More importantly, tweets. Who has 60,000 tweets?
I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, and naturally now this has her even more into the spotlight because people are, what's in those tweets? And I can't imagine, but I mean, look at all of the things that people have participated in because they're social justice warriors, whether it's Judge Kavanaugh or Nicholas Sandman or I mean, Trump, endlessly about Trump. But there's a zillion people doing that. Just all the other people, though, who've been caught up in Me Too. And I mean, what do people get canceled for? And blackface and things like that. So, you know, if you're going to be the high priestess of judgment, well, you know, people are going to come down on you. They're going to troll you, too.
And that's another thing is that wasn't even the first Chrissy Teigen story I saw for that. There's literally, I'm telling you, there's like 100 stories about her just today. John Legend admits that he's cheated in the past.
When you say
before he met Chrissy Teigen, before. But that's a news story that we need to learn for some reason.
Where is that story?
It's all over Page Six, Fox News. And then this morning, the first thing that I saw was her taking pictures while John Legend was in the shower.
What'd you say, Brandon?
A story where Chrissy Teigen is taking videos of John Legend while he's showering, and it was like, and then also her $1,500 skincare routine. I'm telling you, it's never ending. I don't know why people are so obsessed with this couple.
Oh, I see. Page Six. John Legend admits he has a history of cheating before Chrissy Teigen. So she's upset about this?
I don't know. There's so many stories.
For somebody who casts so much judgment, I mean, her job, isn't that her job, her and Alyssa Milano and so many of these people, don't they pass judgment constantly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So somebody's passing judgment on John Legend. I did have a history of cheating, definitely in my 20s. What happened for me? You go through a lot of your life in your teens, whatever. Yeah, well, what about stupid. What is this Epstein story? Are mainstream people writing this stuff?
It's all the usual suspects, the Us Weeklies, the TMZs, the Page Sixes.
TMZ?
It's tabloid fodder, except like
TMZ has her on Lolita One.
Oh, you want that specific story?
Oh, no. I just meant, well, yeah, just, I mean, it just seems
odd
that she's
with
so.
Her. She's got too many stories out there, Drew.
She's so upset that it just surprised me. I'm like, I thought she had, I mean, people are remarking
on
her.
USA Today talked about it 4 weeks ago.
About what? Her being on Epstein's plane?
Just about the rumors and that she denies them.
I see. Okay, so people are doing rumors stories. Which is not really a story. I mean, I think that's part of the problem today is that once something trends on Twitter, it's a story, and that's not a story.
So a lot of it's over. They've connected her to Pizzagate, that fun conspiracy.
Oh, come on.
Theory. Well, because she's listened to some of these tweets she deleted from 2011. Seeing little girls do the splits half naked is just ellipses. I want to put myself in jail. # toddlers and tiaras.
What?
Exactly. It's out of context, so you can put it in any context you want. Like Pizzagate, 2013. I'm going to jail over pizza. 2011. It always weirds me out how strong little toddlers' tummies can look, and I aware of how absolutely disturbing that sounds.
Oh, I see. So someone went through all her old tweets.
2014.
And found.
I want pizza. 2014 again. Brad Pitt just handed us pizza. 2012, I woke up this morning with pizza on my chest and ranch dressing all over me. So if you think I'm too good for you, you are sadly mistaken. Ooh, 2012, a belly and a shirt with a small, sexy toddler. Well, that's a little weird. Saying number one, duh.
Wait, what? What was that?
It was a response to another tweet.
But Pizzagate is so stupid. And
People believe it, though. People firmly believe there is a Hollywood pedophile ring, and when you see stories like Epstein, it just feeds it. Look, all conspiracy theories are rooted in some bits of the truth. They just go off the fucking rails a bit.
I know, and Corey Feldman was the one that was supposed to break that open, but then it turned out the people that he was messed up with in the 80s and 90s, they're not even, I mean, this sucks, but they're not powerful enough people for anybody to care.
I gotta say, when you watch that, what was that documentary on HBO, Drew, we both watched about the conspiracy theories, and they had the Pizzagate one, and they went to Comet Pizza.
Yeah.
And you talked to the fucking people that were there. It's pretty terrifying. When the guy went in with the gun?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Didn't he shoot the gun? Didn't he
did.
Discharge it?
He didn't hit anybody, but, you know, he's looking for the tunnels in the basement.
Did he find the tunnel?
And they're like, there's no basement. There just isn't one. But, it's. I mean, when you watch how that thing evolves, and people still believe it, because people want to believe stuff like that for some reason. People want to be mad, man. Just like, did you see the story today about the mask? The guy in Lansing was shot?
Yeah.
Or
yep.
The mask?
Yep, 77-year-old guy who was at a something like a convenience store or a dairy.
Yeah.
What's it called? Dairy products or something. And he goes in there, and a 43-year-old guy comes in without a mask. And
quality dairy, yeah.
He gets in an argument with the guy about his mask.
No one can let anything go.
And then they both leave the store, and the argument starts up again in the parking lot. At which point, the 43-year-old man stabs the 77-year-old man.
I'd like to point out that this is at 6:45 in the morning.
Yes, 6:45.
Was that angry that early?
A.M.
No.
28 minutes later, the 77-year-old guy is, I think he's stable. I don't think he's dying, is he?
I don't think so.
He's going to make it?
Yeah.
So they get in the argument in the parking lot, and the guy's stabbed. The police are called. They get the make of the car and all that, and 43-year-old Sean Ruiz, the perpetrator, is pulled over 28 minutes later. I mean, that's pretty quick. Congratulations to the police there. Mm-hmm. And they turn the cherries on. He stops. He gets out of the car as the deputy's getting out, and he has a knife in his hand, which the deputy orders him to drop. He didn't. The deputy retreated. He didn't stop, and she shot him dead. Now, this guy, clearly, I'm not sure this is about a mask. He sounds like he's mentally deranged. I mean, he wants to stab a police officer.
Oh,
I haven't seen the video. Oh, I haven't seen that.
Well, it came to me.
Can you put it on the big screen?
Let me try to find it real quick. And it's one of those things where they have to show the video. You have to see every single person that's ever gets attacked by a police officer now. We have to see it. Because yeah. Otherwise you don't believe it, and we have to riot and stuff like that.
Exactly.
I don't like that, because
to me
that sounds like Faces of Death, and I will watch it online just because finding out these stories is a part of my job. So,
well, you don't have to watch it. Just send it to me. I'll watch them.
I try to do that, but then you said, "Hey, you didn't read the story."
No, this is not, now we know you don't want to watch videos.
Well, why can't we play it?
I thought you were playing it, weren't you?
I gotta find it. It got sent to me on Messenger.
Oh, gross.
There's another guy who wiped his nose and mouth on a clerk's shirt. We saw that video about a month ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he got 12 months probation and a fine, and he must wear a mask. That's
always
the part he's really upset about.
For life. What do they make him wear it for life?
That's quite a sentence, man. 12 months probation, although what he did was incredibly,
yeah.
I mean, this poor clerk.
She didn't know if he had COVID or not.
I got to tell you, this world is just really falling apart, and the uptick in crime is just, in some cases, absolutely wild. Somebody sent me something about, where was this today? I don't think it was Detroit. 17 people shot in New York on Monday, New York City. Is that, I mean, I don't know what the normal number is, but I know violence is way up in New York. And, you know, it's funny. I did not know why AOC said, oh, it's because people don't have food because they're poor because the economy is so fucked up, so they're stealing food.
Yeah.
L.O.B. I don't know why. It never dawned on me that she would be trying to offer an alternative to the fact that the police aren't policing enough.
Wait, say that again?
Well, I guess that's her way of saying, don't say it's because the police are being defunded or there aren't enough police because it's about this. And I didn't realize until I read a longer story about it.
Well, yeah. Why else did you think she was saying it?
I didn't. Honestly, I just thought, is she stupid or something? Is she crazy?
Oh, and she's also trying to make, you know, the argument she's always made that, you know, people can't survive.
Right.
So it kind of, yeah.
That video.
Well, that's a good reason to get 40,000 jobs taken out of New York City. He's so worried about people surviving and having work to do.
Amazon, yeah.
Unbelievable.
It was on Local 4 and I think Detroit News, but according to this update, law enforcement has since taken down the public video.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but that's what they have to do. You have to show the video right away to justify it. Otherwise, you might get people burning things down.
Well, I mean, why not show the video? People videotape things in public all the time.
Well, it's got to be something fairly cut and dry, though. Yeah, it's just not always that simple. But I didn't see it. I saw the story, too, but I did not see the video. So, you know, with all this mask, no mask, whatever, and I've been on this train about what is it? Why are there these sacred cows that the media will never seem to bitch about? Like college football is the example currently I've been on. I don't really hear anybody shaming college football.
Shaming them,
yeah,
for trying to put together a season. I don't think
no. For playing a sport where you would have to. I mean, that's not just not socially distancing. That's tackling each other.
Yeah. Well, I don't think any sport's being shamed.
No, but football and hockey, I would think, would be the one. Basketball too.
Yeah.
I would think they would be incredibly shamed because it's so ridiculous. I did see somebody was angry because a basketball player is bitching about his 21st coronavirus test.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was, wait, how are you getting all these tests? I had to wait in line for 10 hours to get a test. And so the NBA ends up saying that, well, here's how we're going to prove to you that we're not affecting these tests at all because we're doing this. Whatever. I mean, obviously, they're getting special treatment because the NBA is so important. Mm-hmm. But you know, Diamond Lake, Torch Lake, protesters in Lansing over the shutdown. Shame, 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 shame. Look at these people and what they're doing. But nobody's really shaming the athletes, and nobody is shaming Disney, except Disney, because the employees are now publicly bitching, saying that Disneyland is not safe, that there's no social distancing, and they included pictures of the stores where people are, you know, of course, shopping like like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And the people, you know, who play characters say there's no social distancing, and these kids come up to us. It's a joke. And California, you can't cut hair right now.
Yeah.
You can't cut hair, and Disneyland is open. I wonder what that's all about.
Disneyland is open in California?
Disney World
is in Orlando, Florida. Disneyland.
Disneyland.
Really?
In California, employees unsafe.
From Disney.
Members say no social distancing. It's not possible. The crowd is too big. There's been a flood of visitors since they reopened. And the union wants mandatory testing. Disney says not viable.
Why?
I don't know. Meanwhile, hair salons are closed. Churches are closed. Malls are closed. Fitness centers are closed. And Disneyland is open.
Oh, embarrassing.
Even though their employees say, yeah, another sacred cow. Well, oh, Disney. Yeah, I guess Disney's important. Certain people are more important than others.
And well, is
people who fly in planes are more important than others.
What's the other big one out there? Amusement park place.
Six Flags?
Not Six Flags. Knott's Berry Farm. Is that place open?
You know, I don't know. I don't know.
Look it up. Because that'd be really fucked up if Disneyland is open. You can go on all the rides there, but not Knott's Berry Farm.
As time keeps going on and on and on and on and on, and we're seeing this insane rise in cases and stuff like that, and there's all this talk of reopening, you know, schools and reopening this, that. I'm just curious, and I guess I could do the work myself, but when they pulled everybody from schools, were we having, I mean, wasn't that way less cases than there are today? Way less, Yeah, it just doesn't make much sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
To me, that if we stopped it, I don't know.
For what it's worth, both Knott's Berry Farm and Disneyland Park are closed, so...
Disneyland, well, who are these Disney employees?
I have no idea.
Well, there's probably still employees despite it not being open to the public.
No, they're talking about characters in shows. Disney.
Oh, maybe they just shut it down again.
Employees.
We know the story. I know the story.
I know the story.
3 days ago, Disney reopens as a different world with masks, social distancing, and light crowds.
Wow.
That's what Reading Eagle says. Disney World reopening in Florida sparks COVID-19 fears. Disney takes a pandemic hit. Oh, that's old. That's when they were closed. I don't know if this is the Disney story I was.
Whatever. Doesn't matter.
Well, no, you said it's closed. I thought it was in California. Disney World is in Florida, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Disneyland.
Don't we know that they're closed because we talked to the guy who lost his streak?
That's right. Yeah, but I think
they were closed. They absolutely were.
I mean, when you Google it, there's a huge red bar. It's closed.
Yeah, that's
what What's this Orange County Register? How will Disneyland characters maintain? Okay, wait a second.
I mean, are you reading the Hong Kong Disneyland?
That's going to close again, too. The Hong Kong Disneyland.
Yeah.
So what I'm asking for is, who is it that says there's no social distancing and that it's not safe? Is this Disney World I'm talking about? This was a story. This is a story today.
Yesterday's story here from LAMag.com. Scenes from downtown Disney's busy opening day in LA. So, hey.
That's what I was reading. Yeah. Well, then it's not closed.
I don't know.
Well, is downtown Disney something different?
It's Disney. I'm not trying to make it complicated. It was a story about Disney. Okay, wait, downtown Disney? So that's different?
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, this is going to be the main street portion where you can do all your shopping, right?
No, don't delete it. wait, downtown Disney. What the fuck is downtown Disney?
I don't know.
I think that it's not the same place where you
ride the
ride.
Okay, here's what I read. Disneyland employees feel unsafe with chaotic downtown Disney reopening.
We know the story.
So downtown Disneyland is different from...
Well, they're calling it Disneyland, so I'm just quoting the story. Disneyland just opened the floodgates to downtown Disney, something many employees there are uncomfortable with at minimum and definitely afraid at worst. They go on to talk about these crowds. These are not small crowds. They're big crowds.
So downtown Disney is like their food and entertainment district.
It's like a mall, but there's Disney characters and there's shows.
Yeah, who wants to go to
because
that?
Because they said they've got 250 characters. Now, I don't know, maybe Disneyland has 5 million characters. I don't know. But, I mean, get in this whole parsing conversation.
Who cares?
This is what I hate about this topic. It's like you can't get through one fucking story. But I guess it's downtown Disney. But nonetheless, the point is the same. Why is downtown Disney open and you can't cut someone's hair?
Yeah.
And apparently, did we find out in this whole morass that Disney World is open?
Disney World has been open. It was originally
that's the NBA,
well,
right?
That's a pretty good example of a sacred cow. Well, why the fuck is Disney World open?
Because everything in Florida is open.
But I still would think that Disney would care about Disney's reputation.
They make a shitload of money off the theme park.
Oh yeah, they do. But remember, Disney—they're supposed to be nice people.
Yeah, right. Whoever believes that.
Oh, I think a lot of people believe it.
Did you read the story about the juvenile in Birmingham who got sent to juvenile detention? It was like the number one trending thing all afternoon.
It's a really long story, so I didn't get fully deeply into it.
Well, what's interesting is, you know, everyone immediately, you hear that headline, a teenager didn't do her online homework, so the judge sent her to juvenile detention, and everybody immediately is outraged about it. So I decided I'm going to read this whole article and see what the real story is. And it's so much more.
We know the story.
I know the story.
It's way more complex than she just didn't do her homework and got sent to detention. She got in trouble. First off, her mom has called the police numerous times on her. And the last time they went through the trial, I'm trying to find the part of the article. incident that led to her current situation happened November 6th.
How old is the girl?
15. High school. High 15. School. By the time she turned 13, the arguments had escalated to the point that Charisse turned to the police to help several times when Grace yelled or pushed her. That's the daughter. She said she didn't know about other social services to call instead, so she just called the police. In one incident, they argued over Grace taking mom's, anybody want to guess?
Car.
iPhone charger.
What?
She called the police because they were having an argument because she took her mom's iPhone charger. When police arrived, they also discovered that she had taken an iPad from middle school without her permission. At her mom's request, she entered a court diversion program in 2018. The incident led to her current situation happened November 6th, and someone called the police after hearing the mom crying, "Help me!" after honking her car's horn. Grace, upset she couldn't go to a friend's house, had reached inside the car.
Help me! Help me!
To try and get her mom's phone, and had bitten her mom's finger and pulled her hair. Now, the other aspect... Oh, so
wait,
police...
What? She's got her own phone, I thought. Because she was stealing a charger.
Mom took it away.
Oh, so she's trying to steal mom's phone.
Police released Grace to a family friend who let the two cool down, was referred the case to Oakland County Court.
It was funny.
The assault charge was filed against her for that.
This whole topic of this phone topic, I've read three stories lately. One of them was Kellyanne Conway's daughter.
Yeah.
And a couple others. One was, I believe, 14 years old. The other one might have been 16, which is older. I mean, it's close to an adult. But anyway, all of them were suggesting and complaining publicly because their parents were taking their phones away, which is their contact with the world.
Yeah.
In fact, Kellyanne Conway wasn't the only one, her daughter. It was another girl that said, "This is my freedom of speech."
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. People, these are under 18 kids who don't even pay for their fucking phones, by the way. And they think that they are constitutionally entitled to have a phone. And the amazing thing is that people even do stories about it. It's like, this is not news. This is dumb.
George and Kellyanne Conway's daughter, obviously she's been popping off quite a bit and, you know, against her mother's boss, ultimately.
Who are these other fuckers, by the way, who give her entree to social media when her parents have taken her phone away?
Well, I think that's their worry. Up. She's a minor, and yeah. She has all these people who want to talk to her.
And troll her and interview her.
Yeah, because of the proximity of her and Donald Trump. And so today,
Kellyanne Conway had to come out and say, "Look, all you media people who are trying to interview my 15-year-old minor daughter, she is not to be interviewed."
George did, too.
Yeah. So, and the reason this really blew up was because there's a New York Times writer who was retweeting the 15-year-old. And I guess her TikTok videos were being shared because the Times writer thought this was a story because the parents, one hates Trump, one likes Trump, and the daughter hates Trump and is tweeting out these, you know, incredibly outrageous things. And so the New York Times writer is sharing and retweeting this stuff.
But, I mean, that's the problem. How are you?
Well, the parents finally.
I personally would think that a New York Times writer would know better than to be retweeting a 15-year-old. I mean, and putting a minor in the middle of this thing.
But the minor's on the platform.
Yeah, she's on the platform. But the minor, once the New York Times blows this up, you have trolls attacking a 15-year-old. People on the right attacking her, people on the left suddenly embracing her, and all of a sudden she's going, "Look at all the attention I'm getting!" And her mother's going, "Oh, fuck."
So that's the fault of the reporter, or is it the fault of the platform, or is it the fault of the child, or is it the fault of the parents?
I would say it's more the fault of the platform.
Or is it the fault of the trolls?
I would say it's the platform's fault. I would say it's the trolls' fault. The parents, I mean, she obviously was trying to keep an eye on her. Maybe the parents are at fault because they argue publicly all the time. The kid even said, she tweeted at both her parents saying, "Congratulations on your failed marriage."
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think a seasoned writer with a big newspaper would retweet a 15-year-old that you know is going to get trolled. I mean, how would you not know what was going to happen there?
Well, they put their foot down. They took her phone away from her because of all this bullshit, and she's upset. Her last tweet was, "They're taking my voice away."
Yeah, she's still getting stuff out about her, you know, "They have to give me my phone back."
They took my phone! You know, like she's been robbed. So, yeah, congratulations.
Claudia.
Congratulations, everybody that got clicks out of that. And the troll pricks. Honestly, I don't know what's wrong with people. Why would anyone troll a 15-year-old girl? And believe me, a lot of these people know who they're trolling.
What about David Hogg? He was trolled. And he was 17.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Laura Ingraham trolled a 17-year-old, what did he call himself? Oh.
I'm fucking 17.
But wait, once again, he put himself
a network
out.
Is trolling a 17-year-old shooting survivor.
Well, once again, he puts himself out there. If these people put himself...
Hey, if you're out there, fuck you.
Well, she got the forum. Shit beat out of her. She got boycotted for that.
No, I just mean if these kids are out in the public forum, I don't know.
You know, it's funny because
so you're allowed you're only allowed to retweet if someone's over what age then? 18?
I don't know. I mean, who can say?
I mean, what if it's a funny video? I think it's all very 14-year-old.
I think it's all very into a funny video is a funny video. I mean, people want them to go viral. I think people should have the sense. I would say retweeting or tweeting at a child for some reason is probably a pretty fucking bad idea. I mean, I think in that case, it's Kellyanne Conway's daughter. You know what's going to happen.
Well, then the question is it newsworthy?
A child? A 15-year-old's opinion? I don't think so. I mean, maybe I understand the New York Times would like the fact that her daughter hates Trump. Is that really news?
What type of shitty person does that?
Well, is it news that her husband doesn't?
Yeah, that is news. It's always news. And he makes it news because he tweets about it constantly.
Oh, yeah.
And it's his wife's job. And the kid is probably wearing some really nice clothes and will be driving a nice car because her mom has a good job. And her dad has a good job. And she puts her mother's job at a bit of a risk. Well, her husband does, too. So how can you blame the kid? But I think
the husband puts the job at a bigger risk.
Laura Ingraham learned that it's not taken well when you tweet at a 17-year-old or get mixed up in a story like that.
She
knew what she was doing. She got boycotted. And the New York Times writer, I don't think that worked out much better. Although the New York Times writer is not being boycotted. So, anyway.
That didn't work out well, didn't it?
No.
That didn't work out well at all, did it?
Hey, so today there's a big press conference for this female victim of Dr. Robert Anderson.
Yeah.
And I guess, is she the only female victim or the first public accuser?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm reading this story, and I came to the conclusion as I'm reading it that this story is like the biggest non-story for a big story. Are we sick of these stories now? Or is Michigan just doing such a good job of weaseling out of it?
No, I think it's a huge story.
Not like Nasser, though.
Well, Nasser had a lot of current young women who we all watched during the Olympics, and
Nasser was still employed.
Well, but these are athletes at a Big Ten school.
I know, but I'm just saying Nasser was still employed by... Was he still employed by U.S. gymnastics too when it broke? I think he was.
But abuse is abuse. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's a sexier story, but
it's going to add too. Plus, there's coronavirus, which pushes it.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably
true.
There's
also, the protest and that whole, civil rights movement thing is still going to get top billing too.
Well, here's what surprises me about it. First of all, in the story, I believe they said there's 500 victims now, and either penetrated or groped or what have you. And the female said she had a routine physical, and he fondled her breast, put hands between her legs, made crude comments, went to a University of Michigan therapist, or I thought she's that therapist, and complained and was told that she
official, yeah, U of M official.
She made it up or fantasized it.
Yeah.
And so anyway, eventually I always like reading the comments, but I clicked on the comments before I was done with the story, and I just got down to the comments. And I'm like, what? And so I had to go back and read the story a little more. And then I get down to the comments again. And I this is another, I mean, this doesn't never surprises me. But I swear to God, this was true with Nassar too. You have Michigan and Michigan State people who are trolling each other about this story. Because either Michigan people want to shame Michigan State for Larry Nassar, or Michigan State people, I think, well, what do you do? Minimize the story, I guess. And now it's the opposite. Now Michigan State people are trolling Michigan, and Michigan people are the ones minimizing it.
You're in the cult, bro!
Let's see. What are these comments? Okay. Comments at the bottom of the story. Provost fired for sex abuses. Doctor, drop your pants. Basketball coach has 8 kids by 6 women. Basketball coach has 8 kids by 6 women. Is that true?
Who?
I don't guess they're talking about Juwan Howard, I assume.
Oh.
And there's a shitty comment about the music director or the music person. Football coach has 7 kids by 3 women. And then the next person writes, this dude is triggered. How many fingers did Larry shove up your ass? So I assume this is a Michigan State person, Michigan person. So Dr. Anderson was an equal opportunity offender. Even more proof, the university covered up for more than 50 years. Then the next person comments, sexual abuse, doesn't she wish? Who are these people?
I don't know.
Animals, I'm surprised they let this stuff go on.
Well, free speech. They don't want to, the paper doesn't want to limit it unless it's a Mitch Albom column.
Where are the Wolverines with the Nassar bile? And then the next person, yawn. Nobody gives a rat's ass. They barely talk about it, LOL. Larry, that one will be in the history books. So it's this back and forth, these shit comments. People
it's rivalry.
It's almost like everything else. It's a big troll fest. But we're talking about between these two cases, what, 800, 900 people who were molested? So anyway, the former wrestler who brought the first, and this is a long, every story about Dr. Anderson, have you noticed how long these stories are?
Dr. Nassar or
Dr. Anderson?
Yeah.
I mean, they're just incredibly long. They're very complicated. And after they get done talking about Kathy Kalahar, who seemed very sincere and, you know, just really sad, and after I saw a little clip, and then I read some of these comments, I'm like, oh, my God, that's just unbelievable. But this former wrestler who brought the first suit, he and virtually everyone else who has brought this to court, Michigan attorneys are fighting this, saying that they waited too long to file the lawsuit, and they want it dismissed. They basically want it handled outside of the courtroom. So on June 23rd, After there was some negativity about the, you know, insisting on dismissal, like, how dare you fuckers? Of course, we're in the world of lawyers now, so nobody cares. June 23rd, UM admitted assaults occurred, but said that the suits must be dismissed, but that they want to reckon with this and want to provide justice, but not in the court system.
But they don't want to pay money.
Well, they don't want to do it in the court system. I think they want to nicely do this on the outside where it's a little more quiet. So the wrestler, the first guy who keeps coming up, he wrote the letter to Ward Manuel that this happened. And this is really funny reading this in the story because I'm like, and my head is spinning. It starts feeling very Joe Paterno-y because Ward Manuel has a very specific thing he's supposed to do when this happens, and he didn't do it. Mm-hmm. He reported to the general counsel office, so he sends it to the attorneys. And they forwarded to the Office of Institutional Equity. What the fuck is the Office of Institutional Equity?
No idea.
And you know, as these things get, just like the Penn State story, I remember when all this was going on, I'm like, what? But anyway, this whole complaint becomes this big secret. And it just goes on, and nothing happens for 18 months. And then Detroit News, the wrestler contacts Detroit News because he felt he was part of something larger, and he also felt he was being ignored. So Detroit News then did the story, and then all of a sudden, President Schlissel says, oh, we apologize to all the victims and we really want you guys to come forward and stuff. But this is 18 months later. So then when this thing finally gets to court, Michigan wants the suits all dismissed and also is told to stop contacting the victims. And I don't know if that's because they're trying to create a private settlement or what exactly is going on. But it was weird reading this today because, like, how do I not know this? It's like the story just it just sort of exists on some lower level. And I had no idea there were 500 victims. I thought there were like 100 victims.
I saw 323, I thought, but, you know, or 383. But it'll be up there. It'll keep climbing.
Yeah.
It's interesting. He asked, anyway. He told the lady that she should get a breast reduction.
Oh, Anderson did?
Yeah. Oh, you
didn't see the quotes.
Oh, you didn't see her. Okay.
No, I just saw. She said that he made crude comments, and I didn't see what they were.
During the exam, she was 18. No nurse was present. She was instructed to fully disrobe. He examined her eyes and her ears and then her breasts. Dr. Anderson commented on the, quote, extremely large size of my breasts, she said, and suggested that she have a surgical reduction. I was in shock.
This is in 1973?
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't even do that much then. I mean, she'd have been kind of a guinea pig.
Well, I thought his reasoning for why he thought she needed that was kind of odd because he told her that women would likely to become her lovers. Wait, he told her that women would likely to become her lovers. It's written kind of weird in the story. Women would become her lovers if she didn't undergo a breast reduction surgery because they would be more understanding.
Boy, this guy really had quite a sexual repertoire, didn't he?
Yeah, his comments shocked and frightened me for months. I felt angry, hurt, depressed, confused, afraid. He also put fingers inside her vagina and made crude comments. I was in shock. I was scared. That's when she saw the female therapist. That's who it was who said that they said, you know.
For some reason, I cannot believe she is the only female victim. But now that there's 500, I bet you there's other female ones. She's probably the first female to speak publicly.
Yeah, and she came out because of all the stories regarding Dr. Larry Nassar. That's when she came out to her husband and told him about it.
But
it's a real sad story.
Yeah, it was very sad. As I'm reading the whole story today, I'm thinking, this sounds so Joe Paterno-y. It sounds so Penn State-y, where it just gets sat on. Nobody does anything. Hey, officer of institutional equity. Sit at the council.
Yeah.
I mean, they said very specifically that the instructions are very simple. You're supposed to do this, 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 and he didn't.
I certainly don't want to defend Ward Manuel. But then again, the difference is Ski Dog was still working at Penn State.
Who?
Sandusky was still working at Penn State. In other words, Ward Manuel couldn't get rid of Dr. Anderson because he retired in what?
You're in the cult, bro!
See, I can't say anything because I'm just going to get hit with
it's,
that.
But it's a lot easier to just sit on it when the person's not alive. I mean, there's nothing, they can't do anything.
No, I guess the difference being...
I mean, he can't say that he would have, well, he would have reported him.
The difference being that Paterno could have stopped other abuse.
If you want to take that fine line, that's okay. But, I mean, they're trying to ignore these people. And the president of the university did too. Oh,
I'm sure Ward Manuel's trying to ignore it.
Schlissel knew about this.
I'm not denying.
They both knew about it. And they both just sat on it.
When the Detroit News
came out with it, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, we want to do this and this and this and this and this.
I think silence is worse when the person is still around doing the crimes.
I don't think either one of these is something to be terribly proud of.
Well, I'm not saying there's any pride there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
You don't see the difference between that and.
Oh, yeah, there's a difference. But what I think was happening in both cases was that people did not want their universities to be embarrassed.
Well, fuck that.
Remember, pride comes before the fall.
I don't think many people care about that.
Oh, I think they do. I think they certainly do. Why would Ward Manuel sit on this? Why would he send it to the wrong person?
No, I think Ward Manuel and President Schlissel would because they have an interest in protecting it. I'm talking about fans and alumni from most universities. I think understand how horrific all of it is.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, yeah, sure they do. But people will protect institutions. I've never heard it quite stated that way until I heard Eli say it. But it's really true. And I don't understand it, but they do. And I don't know how we can know that Ward Manuel and Schlissel would not have reported Dr. Anderson if he was still there, because they didn't report it when he wasn't there, when they had nothing really, not nearly as much to lose. I mean, they protected the university when there really wasn't much to lose because it was done.
Wow, it's even dumber.
So I don't know if I want to say that it's better or they're of higher moral caliber. I mean, if that makes people feel better. But it did, it just seemed, when I saw how...
I just think Paterno's worse because he could have, his actions could have stopped further molestations. Same with Luann.
Well,
Simon.
He told.
But if that doesn't matter to people, fine.
Here's what I was specifically thinking, and maybe people will contact, or maybe people will comment on this. I thought it was Paterno-y in that Paterno told the athletic director, and Ward Manuel told the council. So yeah. They both just kind of shoved it along. Didn't really do anything. So I don't know how Ward Manuel comes out that much better, except that...
I don't think he does. I just think Paterno's worse because he could have stopped it.
Except Ward Manuel, well, we don't know what... it's hard to say. Ward Manuel is still employed there, though.
I know.
This is months after this all came out, and it's like, you know, he a little misreported, but Joe Paterno's statue was taken down, and he was had all those victories removed as a coach.
That's all back.
No, but his life was destroyed.
Yeah, they murdered him.
He died the most reviled person in America, and yet Ward Manuel still has his job, as does Schlissel. So that's the part that's a bit odd. And the Michigan State people they're all gone, aren't they?
Well, now, yeah. Now they're forced out. They were forced out, like Lou Simon and... Dean,
honestly, I have not really heard anyone say Ward Manuel must go or Schlissel must go. I mean, you can find people saying it in the comments. That's about it.
I thought you said that a statue of Paterno was back.
They didn't put it back. I thought they put it back on campus.
No, the area where the statue once stood has been replaced by trees, and it's somewhere. I guess they're gonna throw it somewhere in a forest or something.
Yeah, I didn't think his statue was, I mean, I don't know. I'm not following that carefully. And Bo Schembechler, by the way, I've never hardly even heard his name mentioned.
Yeah. I'd love to know what he knew and didn't know.
The only thing Jim Harbaugh has said is that, he was examined by him and he never did anything from the time he was 8 years old in youth leagues until, he played quarterback at Michigan and, Dr. Anderson is very professional. So I guess he's going for the Macaulay Culkin defense there. Good. If he didn't molest Macaulay Culkin, then he couldn't have molested anybody else. I mean, he didn't even, that's really all he said. I don't know, did he say anything about the victims?
I wonder if it was more like, hey, he never touched me.
Not
in regard to, like, he wants people to know that. I was never molested, because there's
I could see him feeling
some
that way.
Stigma or shame in something that you didn't have control over.
I just would think in his position it would be
No, he didn't really understand semi-important. The optics of what he was saying.
Yeah. But anyway, so let me mention, you want to hit the outro? And I'll mention that I don't know how many downtown dollars our show has sucked up now, but it was
just sent another text. I think 4,000 signups now.
Oh, 4,000. We've taken $80,000. Oh, some of this might be from some other places.
Don't tell them that, though.
No. As you just go to visitroyaloak.com and sign up for the RO in the Know newsletter. And you receive a free $20 e-gift card that can be used at any of the participating businesses, such as Royal Oak Tap House, City Tavern, 515, Little Bros Burgers, Super Tight, Motor City Gas? Is that a gas station?
I don't know what that is.
Is that a place? I'm not sure what that is. Mint Hair Crafting, any of those fine establishments, and you can spend it like money. By the way, I hope you do spend. They want you to spend the money. Because they want people to come to Royal Oak, and that's why the...
Motor City Gas, it stands for, it's a whiskey distillery.
Oh, it is.
I didn't even know that existed. Oh, cool. I had no idea.
Where is it? Does it say?
Sorry, I went to their site. It's on 4th.
Oh, I think I know where that is. Okay.
Whiskey.
Yeah, there's some...
safe word.
There's some breweries over there. Or, not brewery. What's the word?
Distillery.
Yeah, whatever. Whiskey. They make their own beer.
That's a brewery.
Yeah. Anyway, Lyft will take you there on Thursday and Friday. Just put the code in GO2RO. GO2RO. Go to Royal Oak. And you get $10 off your ride in Thursday and Friday from 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. $10 on your ride home, and then Saturday and Sunday if you want to hang on the afternoon. It's 10 o'clock in the morning till 2 a.m. with Lyft and GO2RO. And we'll see you tomorrow.
My safe word will be whiskey.
What was that?
Whiskey.
So you mean whiskey?
What?
You're saying it weird.
Saying what weird?
All of it.
Where do you get off?
I just don't get why you're saying it that way.
Why I'm saying what way?
Forget it.
I will. I will forget it.